There we go.
Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Welcome all. Ground rules. No profanity whatsoever, and not to make light of anybody when they're sharing. addictions in the marriage. That's the topic for tonight. We're going to allow people to pick their own poison. We're talking about sex, pornography, cheating, eating, gambling, shopping, internet, gossip, drug and alcohol, happy hour, strip club, workaholic, church. Did I say church? Church. Swinging. And silence. And much more. And we actually already got the topic started. So, Patrice, go ahead and say what you were saying about Tiger's addiction with what you think the issue is right now with that, since that is pertaining to our topic.
Hey, yeah. The new out there in the news right now, we have stories that's going on continuously where, you know, he's now in the public light with Tiger Woods because he's a huge public figure. I mean, his business is just gone. And what it is just like all athletes. Once you get to a certain level in life, in your walk, regardless of what it is, if it's through Christ or if it's through money, more problems. And his problem is addiction with money and groupies. If you don't know what a groupie is or need the term, that athletes use is women who desire men for their money and will do anything lustful to get to that person, lustfully, if that's a word. I gotta go look that one up. But it is a devil in disguise, and as you can see right now in the news, it's killing them. His wife is nothing. The stress is put on his mother-in-law. He hitting a tree in the middle of the night, coming home intoxicated because he had to live a life of partying a lot. These women are using this for their use of getting money and paid. They're recording his phone conversations. So he's not living a life of faithfulness to himself, not only to God, but to himself. He's allowing the highlight of fame and fortune to rule what he does. That's a powerful thing. That's an addiction. That is a true addiction.
But what do you think, CC? Most of the people on this line aren't of the celebrity status of, I mean, I don't know, but aren't probably of the celebrity status of Tiger Woods.
Why not?
I mean, maybe not. I'm just saying. I'm talking about, you know, celebrity status where wherever you go, people want to touch you. People want to know you. People want a piece of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And with that kind of temptation coming at you, you know, how strong do you really have to be? I mean, not to make, you know, excuses for him, but I do understand you have to be extra strong to avoid that kind of temptation.
What did Chris Rock say? Chris Rock said, man is only as faithful as his options.
Wow. Yeah. And he got a lot of options.
A lot of options.
You know what I mean? We don't. I just don't think that we have to deal with that much. So it's easy for us to sit back and be like, yeah, he's wrong, and you know he shouldn't have done it, and you know. But we know that we get weak, and especially when you have that coming at you from every single direction.
You know, I think the
thing
the
we
whole...
do know is the is weak.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I said I think the whole key, you know. What the heck is that? I think the whole key.
Breathing heavy.
Yeah, somebody's really getting into this. The whole key comes down to not you know, not what Chris Rock says, because, you know, we all have options. I mean, you know, we all have choices. Now, we don't get it maybe thrown at us like a Tiger Woods would, but we all have options that we can do things. The question is, you know, and this is the thing, as I thought about this whole situation and watching this unfold, you know, from the outside looking in, I mean, you look at Tiger Woods and he's got it all. I mean, he's got all the money that he could ever spend in however many lifetimes. You know, I read a story from Forbes magazine that he just went over $1 billion, you know. He's got, you know, I mean, a Swedish model for a wife, you know. He's got, you know, he wins, you know, half the tournaments he enters, yet it doesn't fulfill that spot in his heart. And, see, that's what I had to run into, and what I recognized is that when you try to fill that spot and it doesn't, you try to fill it with more, and if it doesn't, you try to fill it with more. And that's the whole key of what's going on, and what I see is that he's got an empty spot in his heart, that all these quote-unquote things that should make, you know, somebody happy and content don't, so he continues to strive to feed that hole that only Christ can fill, that he can only be the one that to really, you know, to fill us. And if not, we're constantly looking to fill that, whether it, you know, be with women or sex. I mean, you know, for him it's an easy thing. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, women are throwing themselves at him. So for him, that, you know, that's where he went with it. But it really comes down to me is the emptiness that you have in your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel to differ with that. Just being old man, I feel different with that. I think the Tiger, you know, if we're just talking about Tiger himself, and we can reflect this on our own lives, that, you know, when you come to a point, whether we got $1 billion or whether we got $10 in our pocket, I think we come to a point in our lives, man, that we just face reality, man. And reality is that, you know, once you touch base with God, you don't care about that. You don't care about all the things that he's getting caught up in because he got this money, he's doing these things. Once you touch base with God, man, God kind of directs you. And he kind of leads you, man, to what you need to do. Every time you do something that's outside of that, you're going to find some kind of condemnation inside yourself to say, man, I can't go that way. But when you hang around people, you know, when you hang around people, like Tiger got a lot of people around him, man, all the time. I live in Orlando now, so I see him. I see him at the Boombox Kings. I see him doing things, man. Tiger got a lot of people, entrepreneurs around him, man, that just spending money because he got that money. Entrepreneurs around me when I hang out. But it's people that you hang around that can change and alter the course of your life because they can feed you and tell you different things. Oh, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, man. Yeah, you can get away with this, you can get away with that. But if you by yourself, you know, you'll have a more clear vision and a more clear ear of what you need to be doing. You won't be out there doing things like that. Because, you know, every time you make a decision that I'm going to go this way, most of the time, if you really got your eyesight on God, God ain't going to let you go that way. And when you start going the wrong way, and people that's coming in your way, that's not going your way, God will put a detour sign up for that person. So they can go the wrong way to stay away from you because he know what you're trying to do.
Well, you won't get caught
up.
Hey, what's up? Oh, Fish, I ain't want to. This is D-Sauce. What's up?
Hey.
I think when I sat here and, you know, I looked at it and I really had to analyze, I'm not saying what he did is right or wrong. I'm not here to cast judgment. But, you know, for someone to allegedly, you know, have an affair as long as he had, I don't care who you are. The golf community had to know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it's, ooh, wow, this big – they had to know, which means if you know, are you just as guilty or you just chose not to get involved? And now that it's all come out to light – wow, I don't believe this. Look at this image. And, you know, I just like people who play basketball, football, you know, the stuff's been going on for years. And when we're talking about addiction, you're talking about addiction to sex, to groupies, or whatever it may be, where Tiger just happened to get caught. And it really could have been all prevented, you know, had he not chose that route, had he stayed single. Because I don't know if any of you ever seen Come On, Son. It's by Ed Lover. I just happened to listen to it. But he made an interesting point. He said, you know, if, and I'm, like I said, I'm not saying it's right, but if you were going to do that, he said, why would you pick someone who had nothing to lose? You know, all these women had nothing to lose. It wasn't like he picked a rich woman or anything like that. Because either would have been exposed or not exposed. And 4 or 5 years later, now it's exposed that, yeah, we allegedly, you know, like I said, had this affair.
Well, just think about it, though, when you say that. The only person he would be able to date then is Oprah.
No, what I'm saying is that we really don't, like I said, I really don't know if he had it or not, is what I'm trying to say. He may have sent those messages, but I don't know whether or not he had these affairs. That I don't know. I'm saying that's between him and his wife.
Right.
And but you know, so right now I can't say he had an addiction to sex because I don't know.
Well,
can I ask a question?
He had addiction to texting and phone calling and
infidelity.
Yeah, infidelity. But whether or not he had addiction to sex, I don't know.
Can I pose a question?
Sure.
Has anybody on the call been in the situation that Tiger's been in? I mean, stepping out on their wife.
Yes.
Okay, because I've been in that situation. All right, so
can you speak up, Andrew? We can barely hear you.
I said I've been in that situation, okay?
And Andrew, for the future, you may not get a lot of yeses when you ask that question on this call. Just
well, I
didn't hear what you said.
I just wanted to know, you know, some people can talk about it. Some people are in the throes of it right now. I mean, let's be realistic about it, okay?
I didn't hear the question or what you said.
The question was, has anybody gone down that road and stepped out on their wife?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
And you know, I understand. I'll tell you what helps me is to be able to bring it out into the open. When I can talk about where my challenges are, whether they be with you know, lust or pornography or whatever it happens to be, when I bring it out of the dark, it sheds light on it and it doesn't have as much power. When I can talk to my wife about these things and we can talk openly about challenges, it doesn't give it power. When you hide it, it has a power to it. If those of you like me who have fallen in this area, and not with my current wife, but my previous wife, to me, and I, you know, I wouldn't say it was an addiction as much to sex as the thrill of trying to do something under the covers, and then it kind of gets out of control where it's hard to stop and you don't know where to turn. It wasn't so much an addiction to sex as much as it was kind of getting caught up.
You're addicted to the thrill.
There's a certain thrill that's there, but after the thrill, it's not even a thrill and it's not even satisfying. It's just I don't know how to get out of it. And I don't know if anybody's been in that situation where, you know, in the beginning it's a thrill, it's an excitement, but as it goes on, it's like more of a burden and a weight and living a double life and not knowing how to turn and how to get released from being, you know, being locked up in that. And as a matter of fact, I remember when I got caught. And, I mean, yeah, it was awful, but there was a relief to it. There was a certain relief to go, okay, now it's out. There's nothing else that needs to come to it. You know what I mean? And that, you know, for me, I wasn't addicted to it, and it wasn't like that's what, you know, where the challenge. My addiction came more to pornography. That was more of an addiction for me than, you know, stepping out. I guess you could say it's the same kind of thing, but I, you know, that was much more difficult for me to overcome and still sometimes a fight for me to overcome. And like I said, with the help of you guys and literally to help my wife to be able to talk about these things and not to be shamed and this and that, when it's out in the open, it's so much easier to deal with for me.
Yeah, Nate, I can agree with what you said, Andrew, because, I mean, like you said, in a previous marriage, it did step out. Well, I stepped out a few times in previous marriages. But, and it's just like I said, when it's all over And when you get caught, in a sense, it's just like, you know, I be trying to explain to my wife now, so it's such a relief because she's just like, man, okay, you know, I don't have to check my cell phone no more. I don't have to turn, you know, have to, you know, keep tabs of what I said. And it really is just a relief to the point of just saying, okay, I'm just one person now. You know, I'm not, you know, living this double life where I feel like, you know, if she called, I got to put on this face, and for me, it wasn't so much of, I mean, I can agree also with you, what you were saying about the, once you get into it, it's like it got you, you know, and it's like for me, it's the sexual, it was a sexual thing. It's just like it got you. So it's like now it's like it's feeding off you, and you really have, for me, I realized a lot about myself. It was just self-control. I really had, you know, if someone responded to me, a female responded to me, you know, in a certain way, it was like I was, you know, drawn to that. And then, you know, once that happened, when I, you know, tried to master that, it was like, okay, now that I'm not running behind women, now I got to conquer women, you know, addressing me, you know. So, I mean, and I can't imagine what Tiger, I can't imagine, because my temptation ain't his temptation, you know. You know, average Joe walking around, you know, some girl might say something to you, but if this dude walk around, I'm sure he's getting all kind of tensions for all kind of different reasons.
Good words. How do you fight that temptation?
I really just got tired of, you know, of the ending. You know, the ending was embarrassment to my family, my loved ones, and hurt all up and down the line, you know. And it's like people had this view of you, because one of my things was, you know, it was with we actually didn't do anything, but it was just like it was with involvement with a minister in an old church I used to go to. So it's like the embarrassment behind that, you know, and people in church were like, you know, like, man, you know, he's not, you know, you feel like you're not serious, you know. You know, you can't be serious, you know, doing some of the stuff that you're doing. You know, you're falling like everybody else falling. And at that point, it's like that was, about the third time. And I was just like, you know, this is nothing new. You know, this is the same old, it's the same stuff just tripping me up. And it's like, it's the same, you got the same ending. You know, no matter how I start, you know, it's that struggle in the beginning, you know, and then once it got you, and then it's like God give you a warning to get out of it. And then if you don't get out of it, he deal with you in the public, you know, because I'm sure, like I said, I look at Tiger and I was like, look, I mean, how many times he almost called when he just could have had the opportunity to stop it himself. Before it actually got to the point of like, okay, now you're going to have to deal with it in the public and everybody's going to judge you about it. So it's like, you know, that's how all my stuff, you know, went down. It's like, okay, you had these little close calls where you could have ended it, but you didn't. And you just kept on until it's just like it blew up. And it's like now it's like, okay, everybody's looking at you now, you know, and it's just like, okay, you know. And I was just like, okay, I gotta stop, you know. And it's like the desire, and that was my prayer. Like, God, just take the desire to, you know, for certain, you know, allow me to see people. Because my thing was just lust, you know, seeing women and just lusting, you know, after them. Like, oh man, she is so fine, you know. And it just, you know, that was it. And it's like, if I saw her, it's like, you know, it was like, okay, you know. I gotta holler at her. It almost to the point where, you know, it takes one to know one, you know, you almost know who has the same issues. That it's like those same type spirits just connect, and you're in it. But it got to the point where I just can't do this anymore. You know, I'm like, I mean, how am I moving forward? And it's like, you know the ending. You literally, you know, you know the ending to it. Even, you know, how it starts, how it will end, you know. And it's like sin. It doesn't have, you know, I was thinking about, you know, it don't have a ingredient for how it's going to end. It just... You know, somebody busting in the house, killing you, you know, over some, you know, some crazy stuff, adultery, or it's just the mercy of God that you get out of it with your life, you know, that it just don't get so crazy.
Well, let me ask you a question, and fellas, correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's two categories when we're talking about the cheating. I think it's because you can be addicted to the casual sex, like I guess going to the club, you meet a new one, you know, the one night stand thing. Or then that's one category. Or then you can have the ongoing relationship, like what gentleman just said, that Tiger was allegedly having affairs with women that had nothing to lose. But let's just say, and those could be the one-night stands, but let's just say that you have the one woman that may have a husband or that may have something to lose and that you're dating her on an ongoing basis. Would that be considered an addiction, or would the other one be considered an addiction, the string of one-night stands that you just can't stop doing?
Both.
Both?
Yeah. I mean, if you're addicted to one-night stands, you know, or you're addicted to having a chick on the side that's married, I mean, both of them are forms of addiction, absolutely.
Okay.
Can we define addiction?
I don't have my dictionary right now. I'm away from home. I'm going to have to look it up.
I think that that... we can look at addiction and call anything an addiction, but to me, addiction is something that you do not or you continue to go back even though you don't want to. There comes a point, and I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with pornography, but there comes a point where you really don't want, and you say to yourself, I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do this. And then you find yourself back in that situation. See, that's an addiction to me.
Yeah.
Okay. An addiction is when you're doing something that you get to a point where you know it's bad for you, yet you continue to do it even though you know it's bad for you, even though you know it's going to end in a bad way, or you know that it's something that you don't want or shouldn't be doing, yet you find yourself back there doing it over and over again.
Yeah, but that kind of contradicts what Rodney just said, and because the chick on the side may be doing tricks or somersaults or swinging from the chandelier or whatever the case may be, and you want to keep going back over there. You know, you said sometimes addiction is something that you may not want to do, but let's just say in this situation. You can't wait to get back over to this girl. You gotta make a pit stop. You gotta make a pit stop on your way home from work to get back over this girl's house. So
I
guess
think,
it, you know,
would
that I think another part to it is like with any addiction, you know, I look at it to some degree as a sickness. And the reason I say that because in order to be cured, there's some type of therapy, whether it's therapy,
yeah.
Counseling, whatever. I don't know anybody who goes through an addiction. It doesn't have any type of therapy or counseling. You know, if that's the case, why have counselors?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, an addiction, I finally found a definition. An addiction is the condition of being habitually or compulsively occupied with or involved in something or somebody. So it's a habit.
It's
a habit or obsession, craving. But an addiction is something I believe is a part of the human makeup. I don't think you can get away from addiction. You stop one addiction, all you do is start another one. Now,
we're talking about But we're talking about addictions that we may, quote-unquote, deem bad or harmful to us. Because, you know, I have an addiction to sports. Now, can too much sports ruin the marriage?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of borderline right now because I really want to go to this football game.
What? With that chick?
That's different, is it? Man,
is that the one with
I really want to go to the game. I'm being honest with you. I don't care if it's with the Klan. I just want to go to the game.
Yeah, but
yeah,
do you want to go to the game every Sunday?
Yeah.
But Thursday, if you want to go to the game this Sunday, I don't think that's an addiction. I don't think I should ruin a marriage.
Well,
if it does, then there's something else underlying going on besides a game.
But if I had the opportunity to go to a free game every week, I'd go.
You got to tell us, look. Derek, be real.
Then that's not addiction because you would pay for an addiction.
Huh?
Tell him the whole story. Just tell him the whole story so he'll understand how it can be detrimental.
Well, make a long story short for the brothers who weren't here last week.
Yeah, please short.
my ex, which was invited to the wedding, me and her have been good friends ever since. She knows I'm a diehard Dallas fan. I'm the only one really that does not pluck her nerves and doesn't get sensitive about it. You know, Tony can test it. I really don't get sensitive about it. So she was like, "Look, I got a ticket. You want to go to the game?" I'm like, "Cool." Right?
Wow.
And my wife, she has an attitude because, it's a date. I said, "It's a date, a football game." So now, I can't go to the game now, and I'm pissed.
So basically, in a nutshell, his ex wants him to go to a football game with him.
They want you to let come to the wedding.
Now, forget about that.
Yeah,
that
don't even matter. Yeah.
Your wife says that you cannot go to the game with your ex, and you're mad because you can't go, pretty much.
Yeah, I can't go to the game.
Are y'all staying in a hotel together? I mean, how is the arrangement?
Oh, pick a meeting at the stadium.
Yeah. So that means, in a nutshell, your addiction to sports, if that's what this is, your addiction to sports can be detrimental to your marriage because of the decisions that you're making to sacrifice the marriage by going to the football game with your ex.
And if she got two tickets, why don't you just give them to you and your wife? Say, I know you like sports. Why don't you take your wife?
She likes Washington. I like Dallas. Mm-hmm. So Washington, Dallas
football game is the bigger issue, though, because addiction to sport is a big issue with 85% of all men who, if you're a man who likes sports, that Sunday you're not trying to go to the store. You're trying to sit down and watch TV.
When your team and your rival, and you got two tickets on the 50, it don't matter.
Listen. You're mixing borderline infidelity with addiction to sports. It's two separate issues.
Look, I even offered to have the cell phone on all day. Just keep it on.
It don't matter. The fact that you're going to be somewhere with your ex doing something that you say you're addicted to is a bigger issue. Because now your wife is like, I can't even be with him to try to, take part in this addiction that he's has to sports.
Well, let's back up a second. Because I don't know if this is this doesn't sound like a need to me. This sounds like I want to go to the game.
What?
An addiction would be a need.
That is a need. I still think that.
Okay.
food and water is a need. A necessity.
Oh, man. Yeah, boy's wild.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you ask a crackhead, he needs it. And whatever it's going to take, he's going to get there and going to get it.
That's right.
Addiction.
That's addiction. Bonafide.
He's going to rob, steal, do everything he can to get to that
stage. Absolutely, get to it. If anybody's ever been on drugs, I know I have, with alcohol as well. And so you would understand what a difference between an addiction, a need, and a want.
Kind of want. That deals
with now, I think more of what my issue is, it's like because I have so many female friends, I have addiction to speaking with a lot of my female friends, which I can see somewhere in a relationship is damaging because that's what I am. If she's opposite. And, I do. And I'm like, wow, should I really be speaking to her right now? But I'm like, they'll say, hey, girl, how you doing? And I'll actually get up the phone and say, what's up?
How's work? Blah, blah, blah. Get off the phone. You know, cordial conversation.
So you have an addiction to having female friends, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like it is.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Fair enough.
But whether it was football or
enough,
it was
right?
a play or anything, you just, to go out with a female friend does something for you.
Wow.
Yeah, because I tell you the truth, I would go out quicker with a female friend than I would with a guy friend.
Mm. Why is that?
We ain't looking for nothing. We joking. You know, you can do the same thing with a guy.
But you say you'd be quicker to go with the female than the guy, so it must be some difference in going out with the female friend. What is the difference? What is the draw?
When you go out with a
it's
female,
probably that physical part to it too. You know,
yeah.
the act of looking. You know,
yeah.
I go out
yeah.
with Tone, and I'll be looking at
him. See, that's the challenge that you're making your wife feel unimportant, and she realizes that too. And when she sees you around other women, she watches the way you look at them.
Mm.
And that puts a threat into your marriage. And see, that right there is going, if you don't address that, is going to be a serious detriment in your marriage.
But she has to watch them because I don't be staring. It's very rare that she catches me staring. Usually, like, you go to the restaurant, I'm into the food. I'm not paying attention.
So women watch men, okay?
Does she watch other women quicker? She watch me.
She's watching the way the interaction is going, okay? And she's watching the way the women are looking, and she's picking up the vibes from the women, and she understands the women that are around you that are trying to get with you. Even if you don't, or even if you deny that that's what's going on, your wife knows it and senses it.
Oh, no, I understand it. That's not my fault. I'm not doing anything disrespectful. I'm going to eat.
What?
How's that my fault? I'm sitting there.
But you just said you had an addiction to female friends. So, I mean, that is your fault.
It seems like he has an addiction to losers like cowboys. I'm assuming this must be a Colts fan or New Orleans. That's the only team.
No,
that
I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah,
I'm a Cowboys fan.
Off of sports. Let's stay off of sports.
I am a Colts fan.
But back to my point, I think that you said that it's not your fault that she has a problem, but you just said that you have an addiction to having female friends and many of them.
I'm not saying it's not her fault. It's not her fault. That she has, it's not my fault that I'm addicted. I just am.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Well, isn't that a common response to addiction?
Yep.
Or from an addict?
Hmm.
Well, it's not my fault.
No, right. And I'm not pointing you out. I'm saying we all got our own addictions, whether we want to admit them or not. They're there. And but that's a common. I mean, if you ask, and I always go back to the drugs, because that's just the more extreme side of addiction, but that's going to be their first response. I don't necessarily have a problem with it.
And
somebody else has a problem with me doing what I do.
And that's why I use forms like this at a household as a sort of a therapeutic counseling. I'm serious. I'm saying it's good to get different points of view, because if not, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, I get different points of view, and, you know, I can see, I can see what's wrong.
So have you changed your behavior as far as the number of, you know, you talk about being on the call, but have you, you know, I guess made some different boundaries around all your female friends based on, you know, it's a problem in your marriage?
I'm just a little bit more open. See, the how things going? Yeah, they're going okay. They're getting better. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. You know, where, you know, somebody who really had a true addiction, like, nah, things are bad. So that's all a woman wants to hear from the opposite side, that they're bad. So, yeah, he's gullible now. So, you know, I'm not in line. I'm saying, yeah, things are getting better. But we're speaking as friends. And, you know, like I said, all my, you know, it's hard to believe, but most of my female friends are friends.
Would you have a problem if your wife had the flip situation going on?
No, I'm saying the truth, I wouldn't. Most women I've dated have always had female friends.
So that's what I was drawn to. I was drawn to it. It ain't that swinger mentality, but what I'm saying is, like, I was always drawn to someone who was, you know, this, you know, very open as far as their friendships.
Yeah, let me ask this. Does your wife have a lot, as many female friends as you, as many male friends as you have female friends?
No. I got more sorority sisters as friends than she probably has friends that she physically speaks to. But, you know,
why I ask that is because that I think if the situation, like Andrew was saying, if the situation was on the other foot where you just had just Tony, for example, as your friend and you didn't have anybody else, but she had all these, that, you know, imagine every guy on this phone being her male friend. You know, it'll be a different situation, but I think you're looking at it from the standpoint whereas, you know, because you do it, it's like, oh, it's not a problem, you know, because I have, you know, I know where to draw the lines or whatever. But if it was on the opposite, you know, where you just had just Tony, but your wife had 15 male friends, it wouldn't be cool.
It wouldn't be because you can bet some of them be trying to crack it.
Exactly.
And you know that to be true, or you just got your head in the sand. And
now,
some of those
quote-unquote
female friends that you got are looking, you know, for an opening to get in on you. You may not see it. You may not understand it. But the truth is, they're waiting.
Yep.
And biding time and waiting for you to have a situation where you come up and say, man, my wife, man, she just on me. I'm so sick of it. And they go, oh, man, a good guy like you?
Say that.
I understand where y'all come. Most of them aren't real supportive. It's like, you know what, maybe you should try counseling. Maybe you should do this and do that. I said, I don't know. I'll see.
Don't fall for the game, bro. Okay?
Too late.
So Satan's been doing this. Satan has been doing this a lot longer than you. Okay, so mine is always the same. Believe me, when I have fallen for the game, and it's a game, and that's all it is. Believe me.
I've been running the game for a long time.
You got to run, brother. You got to run.
Good words.
Hello?
Yeah. Good words. So, when we get married, do we bring a lot of the addictions from before into our marriage, and should we kind of curb our appetite for addictions like female friends, other people, you know?
Absolutely.
Should we get rid of that coming in?
Hello?
I don't think marriage changes anything.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. This is Walter Briggs. I just chimed in. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can hear you, bro.
I don't think marriage changes any of that, okay? And the fact is, an addiction is a problem that goes deep inside of us. It has nothing to do with the person that we're with. An addiction is an issue that we've got inside of us that we've got to deal with. And once you're married, then it's a situation that both you and your wife need to deal with. And if you can deal with it with her, especially when it comes in, you know, especially if it's a sexual kind of thing, it can take the excitement of the hiding it away, and it really loses a lot of its power.
Mhm. Mhm.
Wow.
Yeah, let me throw a monkey wrench into this thing, Tony, if I may.
Please do.
I have an addiction, and it's not the addiction that y'all might think, but I'm addicted to the internet. And when I say that, I probably am on my laptop much more than I watch TV on a weekly basis, monthly basis. And you know, I'm just basically surfing the net. And I'm not looking at no porno sites, even though, you know, I did, you know, dabble in that a while, but we talked about, you know, I'm over that now, but you know, I'm addicted to the internet, just, you know, just surfing the news, just finding out what's going on all the time. And, you know, my wife came to me and it's like, you don't spend no time with me. I'm like, yes, I do. I'm sitting here and I'm on the computer. And she's like, exactly. You're sitting here and you're on the computer. That's not spending time with me. So, you know, I don't know if anybody else deals with that, but I'm addicted to my laptop, my computer. my internet access. I'm sitting here, and my internet access is slow as molasses, and I'm like, you know, I'm frustrated because I can't even use my laptop right now as I'm talking to y'all. Usually I'm surfing, you know, I got stuff going on, but I'm addicted to my laptop. I don't know if anybody can feel me on that.
For me, it's not the laptop, but it's video games. I can honestly say that's one of the things that my wife is always saying to me about the video games. I mean, I'll break away. If I wake up in the night and if I'm thinking about beating a level or get to the next board or whatever, I'm coming down to play the game. I'll go to work tired to get to the next level. You know, but I can understand how, you know, definitely electronic devices and things like that can factor in to being an addiction. But I want to take it back to something that someone asked earlier, you know, can you really, like, check some of those addictions and whatnot at the door before you get married or be able to put those things to the side? I don't think you necessarily can. I think all you can do is really do a good job of maybe recognizing them and defining them and being able to articulate what some of these things are to your partner before you do look to move ahead with marriage or something like that. Because it's gonna show up. It's going to come out. I can definitely say that my wife knew about me in video games before we even got together to decide to take the next step and get married, engaged, all that stuff. She knew about it. But it's one of those things where, you know, you think that, I'll have other things going on, you know, we'll get married and then we'll have a home and have some kids and all these other things and not really going to have time for video games and some of those childish tendencies and stuff like that, which is what she refers to it as at different points. But it still happens. I mean, there's still time for it. Like I said, I will go to work tired to play video games. I'm the one that if the game is dropping on Tuesday, and you go and you're looking at the line at Toys R Us or at one of those GameStops or whatever, I'm the grown up in the line, not buying the game for a little kid, but for myself. That's me. You know, for me, Black Friday is like once a month. When I'm standing out there trying to wait for this new game or something that's dropping, that's me.
Wow.
So I mean, it is an addiction. I mean, I can honestly say that, you know, I've got more video games in here than probably any other thing that's of value that would be beneficial for my wife and I. You know, like she likes, you know, getting DVDs and us watching movies and doing all this stuff. I care less about that. You know, if she sends me to the store to rent a movie. From Blockbuster or something like that, I may come back with games and not come back with videos. So I think that these addictions sometimes they're pretty serious. I think that you really have to address them and really talk about them and try to just, you know, space yourself out with regards to utilizing them or not. But I feel you on the electronic devices and things like that.
Yeah, good words, brother. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, we basically enslaved, you know, to the video game or to the laptop or to the computer or whatever it is. And that's when it comes detrimental when, you know, you say you're sneaking away or, you know, you may have, you know, your wife in the same room and you're playing video games where she just wants you to just kind of just chill out and just communicate with her and watch TV or something where it's interesting because you think, oh, yeah, we're in the same room, so we're good, when that's really not the case. But I think the first thing, you know, like you say, is that you have to acknowledge your addictions. And whether it's a minor addiction or major addiction, I think that we have to realize that it is an addiction. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to, you know, we have to get to that point, saying, you know, major, minor, it doesn't matter, it's still an addiction, and it's problematic. Anything, you know, habit forming that takes away from the family is detrimental.
Right. And either learn how to deal with, wean yourself off of them or do away with them and pick up some new habits, some better habits. Mine is, if I had to say, I have an addiction, I would have to say silence. We're an addiction, I guess, to some, but, you know, I like quiet, I like peace. And I got three teenagers, well, really, I got a 20-year-old and two teenagers and my wife. And so I'm always, you know, even phones ringing for my one in college or the other two's in here, always you know, at me. And then, of course, I got my wife who, you know, wants to spend time with me. And, you know, I like silence. And I remember my wife, when we got married, it was a little more difficult for me to adjust, actually a lot more difficult for me to adjust because she's just the opposite. She likes to be up underneath me all the time and likes to go everywhere with me and just spend every waking moment, so to speak, with us together, doing everything together. And I had to come to the realization, because it did cause some rifts, especially she goes to bed early. Whenever she's going to bed, you know, she wants to, you know, be in the bed together, watch TV. She falls asleep, and then I'm up. So what I ended up doing was trying to get my quiet time, or the silence that I like and that I feel that I'm addicted to, is at night. I'll wait until everybody else go to sleep. And my wife ends up going to bed, and she's knocked out. And then I come back downstairs, and I'm up to like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I could be reading. I could be looking on the Internet. I could be watching a movie on TV. You know, just different things or whatever, but I just like having some peace, being by myself. I could be, you know, praying. I could be, whatever it is, but I just like kind of being by myself, some time, my time alone.
That's powerful, brothers, because I'm just the total opposite, brother. And I like my wife, my fiance, to be up under me, you know, and she ain't like that. So the quiet time, I'm scared of the quiet time. I love for her to be up under me, although she likes to be, and her job is so demanding. And I know we talked about this last week, and her job is so demanding, and, you know, she's either on the computer, and then when it's time for her to go to bed, she go to bed. I like to be up under her. So, you know, and I don't play video games. I'm a TV guy. I love old Turner Classic movies and stuff like that, but I like for her to be up under me. And watching me, you know, watching the TV shows together and such. But I can respect that, brother, when you need your silent time and so on. But, I mean, I love to have that. But when I'm home, I like for her to be up under me. I like for her to be with me or whatever. And she's not like that. So that's something I'm going through right now. And I understand we're talking about addiction at this point. But I'm trying to get her to, you know, to get back being up under me. You know what I'm saying? That, so I can respect when you say you need your silent time. But I wish I had more of the up-under time.
I got you.
Good words.
I got you. One of the things that I was thinking about addiction, because, I mean, when I was involved in all this, you know, the lust, and I feel like I was addicted to just that, and when it really came down to it, it was just like anything, you know, and I was, you know, just thinking about the word of God and what it says, anything that hinders you, lay it aside, you know, that's pulling me away from the word of God. It's like, you know, and then, you know, and I'm thinking like, for a while, you know, I know the brother said, you know, drug being the most extreme of the addiction. I was like, you know, all of it is the ending, you know, addiction. To porn, addiction to alcohol, addiction to women, lust, all of it has an ending, the same ending, you know. And that's, and ultimately, that's what I came to the conclusion. This thing, addiction to, you know, women and sex, it was like, it's going to have the same ending as somebody on drugs. You know, I'm going to be somewhere dead, you know. And it makes no difference what it, you know, what it is, you know. It's going to be the same, you
same
know, when,
result.
Yeah, when Christ say the end result of sin is death, you know, he didn't say how you're going to die. He didn't say, you know, what sin. He said just the end result is death.
Well, hold on, because I don't want that to be addiction to be confused with sin.
Yeah.
Some people misunderstood what I was saying. I'm just like the other brother was talking. I don't mind being up on my wife and spending time with her. Matter of fact, I had to learn how to compromise, and that's really where I was going with what I was saying. I had to learn how to compromise, spend that time with her. I'm a night person in general anyway, and she's not. So why not spend that time with her while she's up? and then I got my time at night that I can stay up. And so I learned how to compromise. It works out for me and her. We don't have problems because of that. So, but I still have an addiction, I believe, to my own quiet time, and so that works in our relationship. But I would nowhere equate that to sin, and that I was somehow going to hell and not making my way to the kingdom because of it.
Yeah, and that's the point that I'm making. Whatever you're doing is interfering with your word and what God, you know, mm-hmm. it is saying. You know, I guess we do have to look at yourself, examine yourself, and say, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, play a video game vice going to church, or I'm gonna, you know, go run behind this girl, go to church, besides go to church and pray and, you know,
right.
do with my family, it is sin.
Right. I got you.
Good words. Well, can I say this too? Well, when you say that that's your quiet time, I get into an argument with my girl because she complains, even though she's doing her job, and when she goes to bed, she wants to go to bed, but she mm-hmm. likes for me to be in the bed with her, even though I'm not sleepy at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? She ain't trying to go to sleep.
Right.
So then when I wait for her and I think she knocked the heck out, I get up and I come downstairs and I watch my Turner Classic. She comes out an hour later saying, "What you doing up? I can't go to sleep unless you sleep." Then she get mad at me because she ain't getting no sleep because I wasn't in the bed with her because I was downstairs watching the TV and having a Bud Light. So she gets mad, so it's like, daggone if I do or daggone if I don't.
Well, I think it's like my man said, it's all about that compromise. And you got to mm-hmm. stay in the bed, brother.
Right.
Night. You just got to suck it up, lay there and look at the ceiling.
And I used to be in that same situation.
All you got to tell it is give you a couple of sleeping pills.
Oh man!
I used to be in that same situation. My wife used to come downstairs too, and get upset and throw fits about me, you know, not staying in the bed or what have you. And I say, well, I'm just simply not tired. And you know, we went a little back and forth with it, but yeah, over time we, you know, learned how to compromise. She grew to compromise as well. I ain't gonna say I did all the compromising because she compromises too, because I know she does toss and turn and she wakes up and sees that I'm not there, but she's learned how to just give me my space as well and roll over and just go back to sleep as opposed to coming downstairs and dragging me up by my ear.
let me flip this up another way, fellas. Does your wife have an addiction that's problematic in your marriage? I mean, whether it be Facebook or TV or God, I mean, what?
Farmville.
What some, huh?
Farmville.
Yeah, those are my Facebook. I don't want to see that garbage on my Facebook page. Farmville and Mafia Wars, I got all those in it. I do not want to see that garbage. But, I mean, real talk, though, fellas, I mean, we got some ladies that's, you know, some fellas, too, that's addicted to Facebook. Up on Facebook till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, why you got to go there? Why you got to go there? What you trying to say, man? What you trying to say? I'm playing Mafia Wars. I'm taking some jokers out right now.
I know. Yeah, man, that Facebook is addictive, man. Some of them be on there all night. Now you can. I was on there last night, and I was just checking, because I have no idea how to use it. And then somebody instant messaged. And they just kept typing. I was like, would you please stop? I don't even know how to type back on that.
And that's real talk, because my wife is addicted to Facebook. And I meant that Farmville, I meant that sincerely. But, and the reason why I know this, and we me and her having a discussion about this, but the reason why I know this is because at one time I was into alcohol, and Irk and Jerk was my drink of choice, and E&J. And I would fall asleep with the bottle in my hand. I would wake up with the bottle in my hand. And if I had problems my solution was always the answers at the bottom of the bottle. If I couldn't find the answer at the bottle of the end of the first bottle, then I had to grab a second one until I found the answer. Basically, what I was doing was just knocking myself out to stay away from reality. And the reason why I told my wife that is because, sure enough, when she wakes up in the morning, I mean, literally, she rolls over, she grabs her iPhone, and she's on the Facebook. She's already hitting it and doing this, that, and that. During the day, she's hitting it. And then, come home, she's cooking dinner. In between cooking dinner, she's hitting it. And after we finish dinner, she's going on and harvesting her crop on Farmville. And then she goes upstairs and she falls asleep, literally, hitting the Facebook. So, yeah, absolutely. To answer, I think it was Rodney who asked the question.
Yeah.
That my wife has an addiction of. At first, I was very kind of ticked off about the whole thing. Like, go put down the phone, especially as brothers, we in bed, and it don't take much for us to get a feeling. And it's like, put down the phone, please. You really just messing me up to the point where and it's gonna take a whole lot to mess me up. I'm gonna tell you to not want to do anything, but so I'm like, this is turning me off. You got to put that thing down and getting upset, but
So have you articulated that to her? And have you articulated that it's, Farmville, Facebook, whatever it is, that it's becoming or has been a problem, and how does she respond to that?
Sure, she doesn't necessarily take it well unless she's in like a real joking mood. Outside of that, she's like, she don't believe it's a problem, and it's not an issue. And there are times where she would put it down, and then everything's fine or whatever. But it won't be too long after that she picks the phone back up, or she's next to the laptop or the desktop, she'll be on it again. So, but it's definitely habitual every day. It's got to happen.
Wow.
It's on clockwork. So
what if y'all go on vacation? Does she still play Farmville?
Oh, yeah.
She's still harvesting the crop?
Absolutely.
Wow. That is
I got a question for you, man. Do you expect that she's going to let a crop die in the field? I mean, is that what you want?
Am I expecting a crop to die in the field on Farmville?
I'm just messing with you, man. I'm sorry. My brother's being right. See, that's why y'all got to pray for a brother, right?
Yeah, but along those same lines, though, brother,
mm-hmm.
The blackberry or the crackberry can be addictive, and it's so, going back to the whole electronic devices, and I think what my brother was saying earlier is that anything that hinders your relationship, whether that be with God or your lady, it's a problem.
Yep.
I mean, it's a problem, and it shouldn't be anything that you can't literally put down. Literally, when my wife told me that I'm on the computer too much, and the first thing I said, like, what are you talking about? When I'm on the computer, I'm sitting right beside you. And then I had to humble myself. And I had to say, you know what? She's exactly right. So I had to talk about compromise. I had to literally stay. I had to go on like a withdrawal, like a sabbatical. And, when I get home, I just don't even, just because I know it's going to be an issue. And I, during that time, I realized, I was like, man, I really have a problem. I got to be on this computer or this laptop or on the internet all the time. And it helped me that she pointed it out that, yo, you need to be all, I mean, she didn't say it, in the nicest way, but she literally is like, you don't spend any time with me. And my first reaction was, I don't know what you're talking about. And then when I reflected, and, just being on this call is helpful that, I have some self-reflection. I'm like, man, she's exactly right. I need to watch myself and watch my time on the computer. And it's so interesting because it's you can be on a computer for hours and it feels like 5 minutes. I mean, it's just the time just goes just like that. And it's so amazing. It's like, man, I've been on this thing for 2.5 hours. just surfing around, doing little stuff, So, again, I think my point was, back to my brother's point is that, anything that's getting in the way of you, dialoguing with your wife or, spending that quiet time, it is detrimental. Not that it can be, it is detrimental.
One monkey wrench I want to put in here. One of the questions was being addicted to church. Has anyone been in that situation or seen that situation?
I don't know if, I mean, I've probably seen, I can't recall an issue, you know, right off the top, but I know that I have to, you know, watch myself with that because, you know, I am pretty involved in the church and everything, but, and they just asked me to do something else Sunday. And I know, you know, what needs to go on at my house, and I literally, I mean, I was doing so much stuff that I was literally getting burnt out. You know, it's like I'm doing on Wednesday, Sunday, I'm pulling double duty, I'm doing this, I'm staying over here, I'm picking up this, I'm helping this. And it got to a point where I was like, I got to take care, you know, I got stuff at home that I got to take care of. And yes, you know, the church needs workers, you know, and the work is plenty, but the labor is a few. I mean, we all know that. But, you know, literally, I had to realize I can't do all this stuff. So, I mean, when they asked me, and I just said, no, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. And then, you know, because if I do it, it shouldn't be a burden, you know. And I still do stuff at the church, and that's not an issue because I enjoy doing what I do, and I enjoy, you know, serving the Lord. But, you know, you can get, you know, overcommitted at a church, absolutely. And you can't get addicted to doing stuff at the church, which is to answer your question.
I'll tell you what happened with me. I went through a real difficult time in my life, going through a real difficult divorce. And I found myself, I don't know if I'd say addicted to church, but just like the guy talked about, you know, looking to hide your problems in the bottle, I was hiding myself in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the church was open, I was there. And, I mean, to the point where it just, everything in my life was either work or church, work or church, work or church. You know, and it got to a point where, I mean, I didn't have any life except going from work and going to church. I mean, 6 days a week somewhere I was in somebody's church.
You know, that's pretty funny too, man, because, you know, I don't know how you brothers grew up, man, but I'm 44 years old, and I did so much work for church, especially back in Ohio with combined churches at Omega Baptist Church and as well as Christian temples and so on. I produced a lot of their passion plays, Christmas plays, Black History Month, and, you know, I did all that because I was in entertainment business, volunteered a lot of time and such. But prior to that, I was turned off from church for a while because when I was a child, my mother, and Steve Harvey tells a very, very good joke about church, when he was going to church as a youngster, on Sunday was church. On Monday was another meeting for the building committee. Tuesday, you had choir rehearsal. Wednesday, you had this. Thursday, you had that. Steve Harvey said, you know, I'll just rather go to hell. I can't.
Yeah, so
you know, so but now when I grew up, and just like, you know, my brother said earlier, he said, you know, you got to diversify yourself to understand and commit yourself to one thing. But you know what? I got myself so involved in church when I was in Ohio before I moved to Florida that I was just like, I found myself being in that same realm of thinking. But when it was affecting my home, because I started to get so much more involved in church, it was affecting my home because my ex-wife was not. So therefore, it affected my home, and then I had to let it go. I had to let something go, and just like you said earlier, my brother, you said you had to compromise. So now, in disrespect, now I find myself not wanting to go to church every Sunday. I mean, I'm not kidding you, and sometimes I think I'm doing something wrong because I don't want to do that. I find myself getting ready for the football games, and I don't even watch football that much anymore at all. I play football. I don't want to play no more football. I want to watch football. But church started to affect my home.
Interesting.
And I think there's other ways the church can affect your home too, because some people, I don't know what kind of churches a lot of people go to, but I've heard stories of where the church is actually dictating what goes on in your marriage.
Absolutely.
Telling you, dictates what kind of spouse you should be or what you should wear or what you should do. And I think when you start dealing with that, that can also be addiction too, because, you know, you're worrying more about what the church is saying your marriage should be like than actually what your marriage should be like. So there's also an underlying addiction there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also you got to consider your sources. And let's not get it twisted, gentlemen. There's a lot of people that are making those statements, doing those things, and out there they're the worst sinners out there. So we got to correct. We got to watch who we're listening to.
Yep. Sure, sure. And I think it's one thing that we've said time and time again on this call is that everything isn't for everybody. There's some principles that need to be followed, but you have to work through the principles, you and your spouse. So what works for you and your spouse, your wife might be different and more likely is different than my wife. So I can't necessarily take everything that you say you do in your relationship and try to apply it in mine because I ended up making mine worse than what it is today trying to do what you and your wife do.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Well, a good point would be is the Bible plainly states that the person that doesn't take care of his family is worse off than an infidel. An infidel is somebody who denies the faith, denies Christ. So a lot of times, man, what we do is we have a tendency to put church in a position in our life, man, that we put it before our family. But even the Word of God tells you need to put your family.
Yeah.
Before you put that, okay. So we're the ones to get it twisted, and we think because we do things in the church that it draws us closer to God. No, it just draws you closer to the man of God that you're serving. But other than that, it doesn't draw you closer to God. Because closer to God is spending more time with Him, in prayer, not in doing things.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
Words.
Tony, I gotta throw another monkey wrench out here. I think we've been dancing around. And it's been mentioned several times, but I had a slight addiction with pornography. And I'll be honest, I told a story, last week. But literally I didn't have no pictures, saved or anything like that. But I would go to this one site, and I won't even tell y'all the site because I don't want to tempt y'all, but it would lead me down a path where I would just not want to be at. But I did want to be there, and I knew it would lead me down that path. So, it got to a point where I was, I was just getting kind of disgusted with myself, man. I got, great family, great wife, two beautiful daughters. And, and we actually had the conversation, a couple months ago, about pornography and being addicted to pornography. And, thankfully, since those conversations, I don't even have no desire, to get on no, when I mentioned before that I'll be on the internet, like I just be surfing around. I don't even come close to no porno sites, bro. I mean, that's real talk. And I don't even have no desire. I know exactly how to get there. And, but it ain't even no desire, to go there anymore. And, I just got into a hotel room, and when I turned on the TV, the first thing that the lady said was like, "Tune in to the adult, videos." I'm like, "What?" I just turned the channel because it don't even bother me anymore. And some months ago, I was actually in a hotel, and I'm traveling or whatever, and I looked on the in the guide, and I see they got some joints coming on, HBO. So I'm like, yeah, nobody here, nobody holding me accountable. I'm far away from my wife, my kids. Everything is gravy. No head of household brothers anywhere in sight. So, I get ready, turn the tube on, and I literally, fellas, this is after we had a con. I literally got to the credits where they like, this show has got nudity, strong sexual content. And, I turn the channel. I turned it off. I got that close, to getting out of step. And, I couldn't let myself down. I couldn't let my Jesus down. I definitely couldn't let y'all down. But now, I can really say that, I broke that. And, through much, prayer and just getting that, quiet time with the Lord. And it was, it's a powerful thing that now it don't even have, no control over me. For those of us, that out there that are dealing with it or still dealing with it, it can be done. And, as my man Brian says every week, you're a slave to the things that master you. Right, Brian?
That's right.
Yeah, so, it was mastering me, even though that little bit, that I, would click here, all right, I'm done. I wasn't, on there for hours looking at the porno, but, you know, literally, it was a slight addiction. And now it's nothing.
But your,
you know,
other addiction, but your other addiction to internet was what led you to the next addiction of going through those sites.
Exactly.
That's the other monkey wrench in it.
Exactly. And I'm still addicted to the internet, and I'm still working on that. But you're
right,
exactly right.
That addiction is led into another addiction. You know, it's not that you just go right into an addiction to something. You know, something had to lead you to get away from that because that was too easy to go into something else. I think we're missing that part of the conversation is what do we do before to get to the next step? You know, people don't just start smoking crack. Everybody knows crack is bad.
Crack is whack.
Right. You know, and, I mean,
smart, but
is it the weed and then somebody, you started off with weed and all of a sudden somebody one day laced the weed with some weed and cocaine and then the next thing you know you got a temptation and now all of a sudden you addicted to crack?
That's exactly right, actually.
But I mean,
that's exactly right, because you can never satisfy, and I think Andrew said this in the beginning, you can't satisfy that hole. And this is why I said earlier, too, that addiction is something that we as humans is a part of our makeup. We have an addiction inside of us. Now, I don't think I know that the addiction isn't supposed to be filled with pornography or money or women or this, that, and the other. That's why they never fulfill. You can't stop at the cigarette or you, as you put it, the marijuana, and then you want to go to the laced or the boat. Some of you guys in D.C. understand, you know, the boat, or then you move on to and some, I don't know, you might have different names for the woolies, and then you move on to, you know, crack or just snorting cane or going to heroin and so on and so on and so on. Now, I'm not saying everybody takes that path. Some people jump off the wagon before then. Some people die before they can go any further or whatever the case is. But it is the natural progression, and that's what addiction is. You start and you're watching, you know, pornography on whenever they show a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or you're on the internet, and then next thing you know, you're purchasing videos. Next thing you know, you're in the shop buying the videos. And next thing you know, you got you're spending time with hookers or other women or whatever. So it's a natural progression, and it's going to continue unless it's dealt with. And someone was talking about at the end result is going to be death.
Well, and I think a lot of times the end result is when. What happens is when you go through that natural progression, what happens is that you wind up trying to bring that stuff into your relationship in your house, man.
Right.
And
right.
That you got to be careful of, man, you know, because when you try to introduce that into your house, then what's going to happen is if you get denial there, then it's going to get even stronger because you're going to go seek it because you're familiar with that spirit.
Right.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is, we tend to make excuses. We even lie to ourselves about certain things, especially the whole pornography piece. We can be addicted to pornography and blame it on our wife. We can blame it on our wife. But she ain't doing this. She ain't giving me enough. She ain't, you know, whatever the case may be, we could blame it on other things. But it's our own addiction. You see what I'm saying? And I don't really know that there is a wife that says, well, why don't you go ahead and watch it on the internet if you're not getting it from me? I don't think that conversation ever happens. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, I got a question. I got a question, gentlemen. Let me throw a monkey wrench in this one. Does the watching the pornographic stuff on the internet make your sexual life at home any better?
No. Might make it work.
Why? I want to know.
Yeah, because she ain't doing what your wife is doing.
I mean, look.
But you can't. You're watching the television. You ain't watching. Your wife can give you everything you need. Right. All you need to do is go and tap her on her shoulder, and everything you need is right there, as opposed to you sitting in the chair watching it on the internet. What is the differentiation
of that.
That's a $64 million question right there.
Well, I think in most, not in all, but in most, most brothers on this call, I know we've had conversations like this before, that the difference, I believe, is that the TV you can get any time you want. Enough said.
You're absolutely right.
Anytime you want to get that, you can get the TV. You probably got five of them, six of them in your house. So you can get the TV when you want to get the TV. And there's a strong distinction about marriage and a fallacy to the single folks if they're already on the phone about marriage and about what's being put out, what's not being put out in a marriage.
Yeah.
In most cases, obviously, not in all cases.
Yeah, just like that movie Pretty Woman with, y'all know who's in the movie. I can't remember the name.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts said, I'm a sure thing. You pay the money, this is done. This is a done deal right here. The pornography thing is a sure thing. There's no rejection. There's no nothing. There's no arguments. There's no I got a headache. There's no nothing. You know what I'm saying? So you it's a fantasy life that delivers somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Versus your real life that may not deliver.
Right.
May not on a Tuesday night. May not on a Wednesday. May not even on the weekend. You see what I'm saying? So then you pull yourself away and say, well, I got me a solid backup plan that's going to deliver. Not only is it going to deliver, but it's going to give me an array, an assortment of things to look at.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's why I have a problem. It's just to look at. It does not please me. I mean, you know, and no disrespect, but gentlemen, I don't go to strip clubs. I have a little brother back in Jersey, man. I swear to goodness, he spends at least 5-6 nights a week in a strip club, not because he works there, not because he's doing anything out there, but watching these women. And I just have a problem with just watching it. And then watching it on TV or whether I'm going to a strip club, it ain't mine. I can't do nothing with it besides giving them a bunch of singles that I know I need to go pay my bills. Whatever.
Right.
So I can't do it. I can't do it. My girl and I have gone to a very exclusive strip club together because of our business that we were in entertainment or whatever. But the only thing about it was they had great food. but we went and the world girls walk around and they get mad at you. My girl's sitting right next to me. They want to give me a lap dance. I'm like, you must be out your mind. I mean, you know, I just cannot do that or see or fathom that. Whether watching it on a video or either going to a strip club will not please me unless I'm doing something, which is the other addiction of pornography, of going out and being an adulterer, because I know my wife is home waiting for me and I'm out with somebody else or thinking about something else, and we all know that the Bible says that the sin is in the thinking of it.
So my
question is then, you know, why do we even, if our wives ain't doing what they're supposed to do, then, you know, we just have to just compromise and go to sleep, like I said earlier. There's many a night that my girl just want me to be in the bed with her, but I ain't sleepy. I ain't trying to sleep. But either, well, let me put you to sleep.
Well, that's what it is, brother. It's an addiction.
That's real.
And pornography is demonic, you know, because it makes you think, oh, you know, I'm just looking. I'm not touching the ladies, you know. Everything is cool. We got the screen in between us, so I got, you know, the stage in between us. I mean, literally, brother. I mean, one thing about it is that, you know, you can't.
Well, let's keep it real then. Is it mental or is it physical? Is sex an addiction? Addiction.
Well, everything is mental. That's how mental ends up physical.
Let's keep it even realer. There's a build false expectations for when you're in the bedroom with your wife. And when those things don't come to fruition, what happens? What do you mean? What do you do?
You might rebel against it. You might get an attitude. You might say, you know, these are the things that I want. You might try to change the deal.
There you go.
You know, that You know, you're going to flip the script on the whole contract and be like, well, you know, these are the things that I need now.
That's right.
To your wife. And she can be like, well, you haven't been getting these things, but these are the things that I need now.
She ain't feeling it, and it's causing you to think different now.
Yeah, because you went on the internet and got turned out. So now you're going to bring it to her.
There you go. She ain't ready for that. You know,
she ain't ready for that. But she shouldn't have to be, because she is only who she is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted a stripper, you should have married a stripper. If you wanted a porno star, you should have married a porno star.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? We marry women that we can bring home to mama. You see what I'm saying? But then we get pissed off later on down the line when they're not that porno star.
That's right, and that's the truth, because, you know, basically the Bible talks about when you awaken love before it's time. You see what I'm saying? When you awaken love before it's time, man, you introduce yourself to all kinds of spirits, man, and when you introduce yourself to those spirits, man, you take them with you. But the Bible plainly tells you is that when you become into a relationship with a woman and you sleep with that woman, you become one with her. So what you're doing is you're bringing that spirit from whatever relationship that you was with that woman before that, and that other woman before that, and that other woman before that, you're bringing it into your relationship, man.
That's right.
So because, oh, yeah, it's crazy, man. So what you're doing is you're bringing those things into something that she's not really involved in, and you're bringing those spirits with you, man.
She's like an innocent bystander. I mean, you know, not to be, you know, taking sides, but she's like an innocent bystander. When we do things like that, she's like, and sometimes we got to pump the brakes and remember, wait a minute, this is my wife.
There you go.
Wait a minute, this is my wife. This is the woman. This is the actual way that I chose her, the way that she is. You know what I mean? We stepping out. Go ahead.
But you know what? That's a good point. That's the woman you chose. But you know what's really crazy, man? Is when you got that woman that she ain't no stripper. You didn't marry a stripper. You ain't married no hoe. You married a perfect, wonderful woman that can do all of the things that you could see on them TV shows, on them damn internet sites, and you still go out and screw up because you got everything you need right there in your bed. Why do we still do it?
That's the other $54 million question. Is it, look, is it because we can?
That's a billion-dollar question as a Tiger Woods. It's just,
I mean, think about it.
You know, it went to $4 million when Kobe left the door unlocked and the lady came in the room who worked at the hotel.
Why are we addicted to, you know, to that? I mean, just not being with somebody other than our wife. Why do we have that, you know, that desire or whatever? If that's what it is,
I think it's contentment. We're not content
because of the previous relationship that you had before. You know, before you got married, man, you were indulging into things, and oral sex, anal sex, every kind of sex that you could possibly imagine. And then when you left that freak that you had and you went and married this wholesome woman, you still had a desire for those things that you was doing in the street before you got married to that wholesome woman.
Wow.
That's what it is.
Yep.
I dealt with it for a long time.
You're saying it's the pace. So you're saying that though your activities have slowed down, your mental thought wants to continue
where you were before.
Pace.
There you go. And that's what happens. So what happens is we think about all those previous relationships. You can see that old girl going down the street that you used to knock off all the time. And the first thing come to your mind, all you're going to remember is, damn, she gave some good head. And you remember that. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And I'm serious. You may not want to look at it that way, but you know that it's always that one that you remember when she did special for you. And you can see her, and she can just automatically just change your perspective no matter how godly you are.
You're not lying, brother.
I'm telling
God,
you.
God's the honest truth, baby.
She got a title. Every one of them got a title. I ain't going to say some of them, but they all got a title. They got the title belt.
They all got a category in the old black book. Like, I got
the stars. Me and the stars. They all got it.
So we need to stop thinking and acting like we don't know, man. We know, we know our lives now, and everybody else is listening to our conversation. But you know what? So what? It is what it is, man.
you know.
It is what it is. It is. But the important thing, just like we tell our kids, when you're outside and you wherever you're at, be mindful of your surroundings.
That's right.
But we need to take the same advice. You know what I'm saying? If you're walking, if you're taking steps closer to the Lord, you know what I mean? And that's what it is for you now. Then we need to be mindful of our surroundings and certain things we can't bring into that path. But we keep bringing these things into that path, and then we end up on that knee talking about, please, please help me, deliver me. But we bring them into the path. You know what I'm saying? And certain things in the marriage. Huh?
Can I throw a for instance in there?
Go ahead.
For instance, you married, and your best friend is single. And y'all go to Vegas together.
Oh,
okay. Oh, there you go.
How did that happen?
Right there.
Tell me how you get on the plane. Tell me how you could even get on the plane.
Some wives would be like, oh, yeah, go ahead and go with your friends. I'm going to do girls weekend out with my friends. But as men, you know, I mean, hey, if you got single friends, they're not going to want to do married things while they're gone with all the boys. They're going to want to do what men, single men do.
Dude, how
many things
in Vegas?
I'm going to give you all a scenario, man. Check this out. You know, I always hear the brother. There's one brother he always talks about. He has more lady friends than men friends, and he get along a lot better with the women, and most of them are his best friends. You know, I never really commented on that, man, but, you know, I'm kind of like in that same situation, man, because all of the people that I know and people that I've befriended over the years are women, and majority of them are still friends to this day, to be honest with you, right? And the most difficult part about that is that I don't get any feedback or repercussions from my wife about that. But I'm gonna tell you, man, it's a major battle. A lot of times, man, friends or no friends, man. You know, I don't care how close they are or how good they are with you and the conversations you have with them. And, you know, you put yourself in a position, man, and that position becomes awkward, man. You got to be careful, bro. You know,
it works.
I'm telling you, you got to be careful, man. And I can attest to that, to tell you that, because, you know, when I wasn't all that safe, bro, it really didn't matter. You know what I mean? And the main reason I had such a good relationship with women, because I didn't grow up with my father, see. I grew up, my mother raised me. So every time I was around a person, I was around a woman. So what I did was I picked up on the things that they desired and that they needed, when the comfort that they needed, I learned when to pick up on those things and knew how to give them what they wanted. Because my interest was to conquer, man. So I was raised by women, so it's easier for me to relate to women than it is to.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, because I got a lot of female friends too,
yeah,
and I don't have those issues with my wife, because she doesn't question anything that I do. And how did you achieve that goal with your wife too? Because, you know, a lot of times wife feel, you know, I don't know, jealous or whatever the word you may.
Well, you know, one thing my wife has learned to really respect is the fact that a lot of people that I know have been friends for a long time. But the main thing is, man, is that what I do is that if I'm around them, she's around them. If somebody that's my friend, she knows them. You know what I mean? It's not like it's a me thing, and I'm gonna go hang with her and go swing with her. No, it's not like that. You know, I can communicate, talk on the telephone, or well, I mean, like they may call me and say that, you know, they haven't. You know, one of them called me, their son had a child and they lost the baby, and they called me and asked me to come out, you know, whatever. I mean, all kinds of different things, all different types of different scenarios, but it's mainly a trust issue more than anything, man. You know,
communication.
If you did anything in your past to cause her not to trust you, okay,
yeah,
and you try to establish a relationship with friends from the past, man, it's not going to work, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we have to, you know, be careful to, you know, when we use the word friend,
right.
You know, friend has been a term that's just so watered down. I mean, I look at my Facebook friends, and I'm like, I don't even know these people. I mean, right. A lot of them. And it's like, you know, these ladies or whoever you want to talk about, I mean, a lot of them are just associates. It's not like you're communicating with them on a daily or weekly or monthly basis. And, you know, I think we have to be careful using the word, you know, friends, you know, but, you know, and also, you know, whether they're associates or, you know, they are that close. You do have to be careful because, you know, as the brother said earlier, you know, your intentions may be fine, but that other woman is waiting for your wife or your lady to mess up, and then they moving in.
An opportunity, and you're absolutely right about that, man.
Yep. And you think, they're so nice, and nope, you know.
Oh, yeah, and my friends are friends, like, they're friends of mine for 25, 30 years, man. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I mean, people that still I stay in contact with, we have communication, only telephone, though. You know what I mean? Other than that, no, I don't go out. I don't take them to dinner. I don't meet with them around the corner. I don't go to the Dallas game with them, right? Or should I say the Colts game with them, you know?
Yeah. Good words. I think you might have dropped off on us.
I kind of keep it at a distance, man, because, you know, I know the flesh, and the flesh is weak, bro. I don't
say that.
And all I'm saying is, man, if they're there and they're before me, friends or not, man, I'm a man of God. I love God with all my heart, man. But I'm going to tell you something. When I'm in church, I look at everything moving, okay? I tell my wife that, too. And I said, you know, that's something I got to come to grips with for myself, you know? And I tell her that, you know what I mean? I'm real about it, you know?
Yeah.
But some people won't say that.
Brian, at this point, I'm glad I let the church you in, man, if you're looking at everything.
Hey, dude. But you are kind of cute, Andrew. No. But yeah, man, I actually tell her that. I do. You know what I mean?
Hey, can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got a perspective on things that most of us don't have. And I know you talked about this, and you know, if I'm crossing lines, you let me know. But with your situation and being in the basement for a year and all that kind of thing, was it a temptation to call up some of those friends and say, "Hey, my wife has gone out of her mind"?
Many a times, man. Many a times I had an opportunity to do it. You know what I mean? And man, if I'd have taken the opportunities that I had, you know, I don't think I'd be still married, man, because I got some girlfriends that look like Halle Berry. I got some, man, that, you know, that was sickening. You know what I mean? That it was just mind-blowing. But the principle of the matter is, man, you know, I had to keep it in perspective because, see, if I would have what happened was I received the word when I was going through, and the word was to stand there for the liberty that I was brought out of Christ Jesus and be not entangled again by the yoke of bondage. So what happened was, man, before I was in bondage, man, when I would always go after women, go after women, go after women. But see, I was brought out of that thing, you know what I'm saying? So even though what I was going through, I found out it was a test, and I knew that I couldn't be entangled by the yoke of bondage to get allow that thing to come back on because that's what it was, you know. So I had to hear, and it was difficult for me at one time, Andrew. You know, it really was. But yeah, I had many opportunities, man. Many opportunities.
And I'm going to tell you, the reason I asked you that is realizing, you know, my weaknesses, I literally, you know, since I've been married, I have no female friends.
Right.
All right. Because I don't know that, you know, I might get in a situation, I'm going to start thinking about it. And if it's somebody said, you know, if we got access, man, we're going to go. You know what? I don't even want to have the access at this
point. And that's the same reason why. And you're my friend. You see what I'm saying? And the many a times, I can say this. I can say this out to you and everybody else because it really don't matter. Andrew, there's been many times I come to you and I say, Andrew, you know, I really contemplated, you know, going there, hitting shorty, right or wrong. Many times I've come to you, right? But I'm going to tell you something, though. What I had to do was that I had to say it out loud, okay? to speak that thing out in order to not want that, in order to not have that desire to do it. Because, see, if you hide that thing and you keep it in your heart, man, that's when it normally gets you. So I have to have people like you, Andrew, that I can come to and I say, hey, I need a brother I can be real with. And say,
so
hey,
by you putting it out in the atmosphere, that actually helped check your feelings.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Wow.
Sir. There you go.
Wow.
And we would do when he would come
keep it in
to
darkness, man. Darkness will darkness. If you keep it in darkness, man, it would attack you. So what I do is I go to a brother that I know I'm gonna be held accountable to. We may sit back and joke and laugh, but you know he will come out and tell me, "Nah, Brian, that's not something you want to do." You see what I'm saying? You need somebody to be accountable to. You see, what I let people know is, see, I'm weak like the next man is weak. You see, I'm not going to sit up there and put on this fake facade because I serve God and I love God and I'm doing this and I'm doing that for God. That I don't have struggles, man. I got struggles every day, bro. And I can get on here and say it, but we need to be more accountable to each other that we can have somebody to say, hey, I'm going through right now, man. You know, I got to call this brother that I talked to on the line. I need to get his number because, you know, I need somebody that I can talk to about my situation. But see, we all up there, we try to comb it all over, make it smooth, make everything seem like, you know, everything is so wonderful at my house. But all the time, we going through hell. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We got to wake up sometimes and take off that mask, man.
Good words.
Good words.
That's all.
Anybody got any addictions with gambling or the lottery?
I never
lottery tickets. Dollar slot. I mean, what? Anybody got anything on that?
I never even played a lottery, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you got to be in it to win it, man. I never won it.
You never had an. I tell you a story about a brother that was a good friend of mine that did, and I mean, I couldn't understand it because I've never been a gambler. But a guy I used to work with, and this was before I owned my own company, we worked together as working, we were making job money. We weren't making no, you know, big bucks. And he used to go up to the city all the time. And he says to me, hey, man, you ought to go with me. I was like, I'm he says, man, you ought to go with me. You'll take care of everything. Now, some of y'all know I live in Maryland, and Atlantic City's a good little, right? I'll do it with you. Man, Trump Plaza sent us a limo from Atlantic City to pick us up. And we get up there, and we worked all day on Friday. We get up there Friday night, about midnight, I'm ready to crash. Dude is like, nah, let's hit the table. I was like, okay. And I mean, dude stayed there from midnight till 6 in the morning. And I've never seen anything like it. And it was unbelievable. I mean, money like I couldn't even understand. I mean, he was betting my house payment on every hand. He was betting $1,200 to $1,600 on every hand. And I couldn't understand anything like that. And then they got this slot machine that takes $100 coins. And dude was dropping coins at a pull. And he hit $2,000, man. And I said, man, money, let's go. He said, no, man, scared money don't win. The $100,000 is out there. And he put that plus another $10,000 back into the machine and just blew me away. I never seen anything like it.
That's crazy. Ain't no way.
Wow.
And we're on the way back home. And I had taken $300 with me. I'm not a gambler. I mean, I don't get any thrill, even if I feel like I escaped. And I took $300 with me. I figured, well, they're paying for everything. And I had to justify it in my mind. I'd spend that money if I was going up there on a hotel. I mean, they got both of us suites and all the food we could eat. It was crazy. It was unreal what they do with these high roller dudes. And I was all comped. And on my last quarter on Saturday night, I won $360, and I put the $300 back in my pocket. I said, I'm a winner. I walked away, and he just couldn't understand. He said, man, you're stupid. Scared money don't win no money. I said, yeah, but scared money don't lose no money either. And we were riding back, and dude had lost about $20,000 in a weekend. And he was talking about how the trips are free. I said, the trip really wasn't free, was it?
Hey, look, let me ask a question, and this kind of excludes, this is just an addiction, man, of when I'm talking about silence, and I'm not talking about the kind of silence that Rodney was talking about where you just need your space and you need your alone time, because we all need time to meditate or whatever the case may be, but just silence from your spouse where there's certain things you want to talk about but you don't. There's certain issues that are on your mind, but you just don't say it because you don't know how they're going to receive you. You know what I mean? There's certain things that you know that you can say that'll fix the problem, but you just don't say it. Or the communication that we should be having with our spouses that we just don't have it, where it becomes an issue. Where you know it's like sitting in church, and you know you're supposed to go up there when they have the altar call because they're screaming your name, but you just sit there and don't go. You know what I mean? It's just that kind of silence where you just are not speaking to your spouse as far as communication is concerned, and you know that you're supposed to. Is anybody dealing with that?
Yeah, I think me and my wife is, like, in that area because it's, like, I think I said some things early on in our relationship that I felt like came back, and then it was just, like, I saw that it hurt our relationship. Because I was honest about some things. So it's like now I feel like I'm just sitting in silence when we talk about certain things. So when certain things are said, it's like I really don't comment on it, you know. And because I feel like, you know, I say something and then it's like you thinking that it's taking us to a place where we're getting more intimate, but ultimately, I find out that it's taking us to a place where it's making her insecure about something. You know, it's like, you know.
What's the question?
You tell her, and
yeah,
then you.
I can relate to what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
And I say that you need to go there, and you know, and because you know some things. You know, as they say, you know, the truth hurts. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, sometimes you just got to be honest with them. And, you know, maybe up front you say, you know what, the things I have to say are hurtful. It's not my intent, but it's just how I feel. And, you know, I think that, you know, of course your intent is not to hurt your wife. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but to really communicate with her and articulate some, you know, just get some things off your chest, I think it's healthy because you have to be vulnerable. You can't, I mean, you got to dig deep in order. I mean, there's no growth without conflict. You know, that's my whole thing. You know, you can grow from it. And yeah, it might not, you might say it, you know, put it out in the atmosphere and then you expect everything. Oh, well, thanks for telling me everything's great. You know, it may take days, weeks, months, years for her to be like, wow, you know, what you said really, really, really hurt me. And, you know, I'm just now processing and getting it over. So I think we have to, you know, just be mindful that, you know, it's not going to be on our time, you know, where they receive, you know, when we start, you know, sharing it and being, you know, flat out honest with them. And that's what we just have to be mindful of that, is that the response, you may not get the response that you're looking for, but I still think it's honorable, you know, to be vulnerable and to be honest, because I think it's, you know, it's, some things need to be said, you know, even though it is, you know, hurtful. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't know. What about the conflict that comes with it?
Can I ask a question, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
When they ask you to be honest with them, and when I guess it's this age-old scenario, if you just be honest with me, it'll be a lot better. It'll be a lot. Things will get better. Thing, you'll make me feel better to just be honest. When you finally tell them the truth and so on and so forth, it's like, man, you know what? You should have just lied. Cause that whole, God, all you want to do is make them understand the truth. And when you finally do, just let them know the truth or whatever, you still get the negative response. I mean, you know, although you should have told the truth in the first place, of course. But, my God, all you want to do is make them understand. And when you finally tell them the truth and tell them everything that's on your shoulder, you got that monkey off your back, and you're like, this is the most wonderful thing that I told you the truth, they hate you even more.
No lie.
Yeah, I just think you have to be careful. You just have to be careful, you know, when you do say, you know what, I'm going to tell her the truth. You know, you can't be vindictive with it. You got to really be, you know, step lightly with how you lay it out there. And that's, you know, that's key. Yeah, it's still going to hurt, but it's not going to hurt as much as if you just kind of just, you know, just bam, you know, just hit them with it. You know, it's not going to be as hurtful, but it's still going to be hurtful. So you just got to tread lightly. But I don't know. I think that you can grow from it.
Yeah, but that's easier said. And I mean, really, I think that that's easier said than done. And I experienced it too, where I had some things that I was dealing with my wife. And you know, I didn't want to say it because, you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. But it really, I was the one that was wrong, because when I couldn't take it anymore, I said it, but then I said it with anger, because then it built up in me. You know what I'm saying? My considerate feelings towards her feelings is what made me mad, because I didn't want to hurt her and the things that I wanted to say. So I was like, well, let me not say this, and let me just chill and just try to deal with it. But certain things you just don't want to deal with, and certain things you feel as though you don't have to deal with. So then you're dealing with it, and you're coping, and you blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, it starts to get to you, and then by the time you do say it, it's like an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's easier said than done. I mean, I wish that we all could approach our wives with everything, but you know we can't, because they're not ready to handle everything.
Yeah, we're not ready to handle everything that they have either.
Exactly. That goes both ways. That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, about certain things, you know, I had this chaplain sit down with me and you know, and talk to me about, you know, how him and his wife are able just to sit down. Like, say, like, he walk into a room and his wife would be able to say to him, you know, look, that woman over there, that's your type. You know, be careful. And I was like, man, I think that is so, that would be so cool to sit down with your wife and say, you know, I have the, you know, she knows who I'm attracted to. I know who she's attracted to. And we can actually, as Christians, sit down and say, this is a fleshly thing. This is not, you know, who I am inside. You know, I have a flesh that is attracted to women, and you have a flesh that are attracted to men, and just to be able to sit down and just say, you know, he is attractive. He is somebody that I can do that. But it's like, you know, I don't, you know, dare go to my wife and just say some of the stuff that's on my mind, because it's just like that separation hasn't, you know, it's not really there, because it's like I feel like now she think I'm gawking at everybody that come by. But it's just like, no, a certain type of woman, you know, does get my eye. And I know, yeah, like, with her, same thing. A certain type of man gets her, you know, catches her eye. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that's just how it is, you know. You know, everybody, you know,
well,
I'm not the only person she see attractive. And she's not the only person I see attractive. But, you know, that conversation again is just, like I say, it's just so much wrapped into just you feeling like you violating, she's not making me happy, you know, you looking for something.
Well, I think, not to disrespect that chaplain, but, you know, I do agree with the brothers. There's certain things that you can't, you don't feel comfortable, or you notice how she's going to take it. That chaplain, you know, if he is a real man, and I mean that just in the terms of not having homosexual tendencies, he's going to be looking at a woman. He's going to notice her butt. He's going to notice her breast. He's going to notice, you know, her thighs or whatever it is, a part of a woman that he likes the most. He's going to notice these women. But I guarantee you, with the utmost guarantee that I could give, is that he's not turning around to his wife and saying, man, doesn't she have a nice butt? Doesn't she have a nice set of breasts on her? I'd like to see those, you know, without any clothes on. So I can guarantee you he's not. Now, he might not go as far as, and maybe he's a disciplined enough not to go as far in his mind and already engage in some type of sexual intercourse with her in his mind, but he can at least acknowledge that that's a beautiful woman in terms of, well, you know, she has has a nice dress. She fits the dress well. But I'm talking about he's looking at that butt. He's looking at that chest. He's looking at those lips, the thighs, whatever it is. And he's saying, that's nice. That's looking good. And he's not going to turn to his wife and say, wow, isn't that a nice butt right there?
I mean, I think it definitely has something to do with presentation. You know, you're not gonna be like, wow. Dang,
I don't think you said that at all.
You know, it's just, I guess you know, being real about what's you know, just, I mean, you're not talking to one of your boys, so you know, it's just the fact that he and I heard quite a few people say, you know, and I get it. That some people can have that conversation with their wives, and I get that some people can't, you know. But I'm just saying, it just that, you know, I don't think you're gonna be disrespectful to your wife and just say. But it's just like I say, you know, I think.
But your
wife with you, and you picking out your wife, there's a preference. Everybody, you know, like an attraction. There's a preference. You have a, you know, if you say. Put 3, 4, 5 women out there, and it's like one of those women that's gonna, you know, could be like, you know, yeah, this is it. The way she looked, her color, her shape, her build, her eye color, her hair. You know, I know your wife maybe could say, I know my husband would be attractive. You would think that's attractive.
Right. Well, like I said, I think I agree that, you know, and there are some things. Me and my wife sit here, you know, her man is Derek Jeter. And I always tell her mine is, you know, the woman I like is Jada Pinkett. We know that about each other. You know, I find her attractive. She finds Derek Jeter attractive. Whatever the case, you know, it's all well and good or whatever. We understand that, you know, I'm not the most physically attractive man in the world, and she's not the most physically attractive woman in the world. But we do understand also that we believe anyway that there's no better complete package out there, mind, body,
yeah,
and spirit, than me. And then and on the other side of the coin is her. But now the physical aspect, or you can pick any one aspect away, and you can find someone better. But when
yeah.
you look for the total package, there's no one better than my wife for me, and vice versa. But, you know, now I see Jada. Now, if I go and say, well, okay, yeah, Jada's attractive, well, she knows that. Now, Hallie's on TV now, and I'm saying, well, you know Hallie, well, she, you know, she looked good, too. I like the way her lips are. And then I turn, you know, station, then I see Stacey Dash, and I'm saying, wow, you know, don't she have a nice set of glutes on her? Like, yada, yada, yada.
You know, pulling them out tonight, bro.
Right. Hey, I'm just keeping it real. But you know, you look at the things now. These are thoughts that are going through my mind. But do I repeat everything that's going through my mind? Absolutely not. Because sooner or later, that is disrespectful. Probably after the second one, you're being disrespectful.
Yeah, and I think what the brother is talking about, I hope I'm articulating his point. But I think what he's talking about is not in that, you know, situation, not in that example. But when it comes to really, you know, I think this back to what Tony's question is, and you know, his response is just, you know, I don't even want to, you know. She made a comment, or she did something, and I'm gonna just be silent. You know, I'm gonna just, because I don't want to fight. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mess it up for the night or whatever. I think that, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, it's you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't, because there is a space, you know, there is a lack of intimacy that you feel that you can't even, you know, express yourself without your wife going off the handle. And I think that, you know, and I think the whole thing is that you can't be addicted to that. Well, I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to just let that slide. I'm going to just let that slide, because as Tony said, it's going to end up being an explosion. And that's where the conflict comes in, whereas if you just said, you know what, I don't like the way you cook this rice. I mean, or whatever it is, I mean, just kind of, and then it just evolves into something, you know, a whole different story where it started. You know, one small incident where you could, you know, just kind of express yourself, but it's all about that healthy communication where it's not disrespectful, but it's just kind of just, hey, you know, I just need to say this, and you know, you might get mad or whatever, but I mean, it is what it is, and I think that, you know, too often we're like, forget it, it ain't even worth it. It's 11 o'clock at night, you know, she didn't, you know, do that what she was supposed to do. She didn't pack my lunch or whatever. I ain't even gonna argue, but I'm gonna just be silent.
And you know that can, you know, like I said, it can lead to something where you know that something is some like tension. You know, it's that lack of intimacy, you know, between y'all, because maybe both of y'all are being silent. Maybe neither one of y'all want to really take a head up.
Yeah. For instance, say something like this. I work in an office with a really attractive female. You know, and okay. We have a good relationship. She's not after me. I'm not, you know, but she's really attracted. You know how, you know, I'm the type of person that if I have a really good conversation with somebody and I'm talking, you know, if I go back home and I'm talking to my wife about the conversation, I'm referring back to the person that, you know, see, you know, whoever, Janice or whatever said blah, 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 and then I got to explain who she is. You know, and then it's like, okay, I want to tell her who she is, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, be like, feel like I got to hide, you know, she's attractive, she, you know, just somehow you could just, you know, I just need, baby, you know, a point where you just feel like, okay, how do I explain who this is and without, you know, getting into a big, you know, fuss about, wow, she, you know, she is attractive, you know, a very attractive woman or whatever, and not, you know, because I feel like if you're not able to talk, now you're shutting down, and now it's like that you know, that little pee in the room is getting bigger, because now if you don't come home and talk about the situation, have conversations about, you know, just any kind of conversation you have in office, now it's like, okay, he's in the office with an attractive woman, and you know, I'm not hearing any conversation.
Yeah,
you know?
It's all about our insecurity. I mean, I think we're all insecure to some level or degree, men and women. And,
yeah.
You know, I know that if, you know, my wife was working with Denzel, or, I mean, whoever, I mean, and they had great conversation, I'd be a little, you know, kind of like, man, she talking to Denzel today. You going to work with Denzel tomorrow? I mean, you would start thinking about that. You know, granted, you know, Denzel couldn't take her, you know, you would hope. But the whole thing is that, we're insecure. And I think that's part of our human nature. And we have to guard against that, and it's easier said than done.
But you would hope, did you see her come home and, you know, and talk to you?
Protective.
And not,
yeah,
you know.
Say?
I'm saying, you would hope that, you know, she could come home and tell you about, hey, Denzel said blah, 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 instead of just, you know, all I know is she worked with Denzel. You know, she really don't come home and say nothing. You know, my mind is running wild right about now because, you know, I had a nice day at work.
Yeah, but you know she talked to Denzel for 30 minutes on her lunch break. But she can't tell you because you know Denzel.
Yeah, and that's what my thing is. I'd be like, look, you know, I want to know. I want, if I can't come home and say, you know, hey, this whatever said, you know, Holly Berry was talking. We were talking, and she said, you know, she told me about, you know, what she thought about Tiger Woods, and you know, and the whole deal, and you know, and that's the conversation. I don't feel like I don't want to be like, I got to pump the brakes. And you're like, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Holly Berry again? You know, I don't care what Holly Berry I say. Okay, and then you feel like, and then it's just like, okay, now that field of corn is growing. So it's like, and then the communication
in Farmville.
Yeah.
Is there some trust issues, though? I mean, is there some trust issues, not to get too personal, but is there something from the past that may be instigating these questions? I mean,
yeah.
You should be able to come home and say, yeah, I was talking to a coworker about the Tiger Woods situation. Okay,
talking to
me about it. You know,
yeah,
just a coworker.
Chatting with Hallie over the lunch break.
Yeah,
yeah, she just
like
be a coworker.
I feel like I can say that. Right up until the moment she see who I'm talking about. And then it's like, oh, so this is what you're talking about all the time? Then it's like, you like, yeah.
And the wheels start turning. It's like, I'm going to be talking to her every day at lunch. Let me add up the minutes.
You know,
how many minutes he's talking to her every day? Let me add up the minutes in the week he talked to her every day. Oh, so you really like Hallie, don't you? Yeah, y'all talk about everything, huh? Yeah, you got to think for Hallie. It's like, whoa, how did we get here? So we just
communication. But
yeah.
listen. Brian already said it. Brian already put it out there. It's the communication. It's the underlying communication that we already have with our wives. If we have that communication, we tell them everything, we won't have these issues. Because it ain't going to be like, who is this, who's that, because they're going to already know. Yeah, I work with this chick, you know, blah, 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 she kind of cool or whatever, we talk every now and then. You tell her up front, coming out the gate. You know what I mean? You set her up for it. Opposed to her finding out after the fact, well, who is this person you keep telling me about? Well, what does she look like? And then they start asking questions.
Or if they show up to the job and they see her,
it's a
problem. Oh, yeah, that's who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all have great conversations.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you know what? Just like I brought, you know, like the brother mentioned a little while ago, I brought baggage into the relationship with certain things, you know, and just say, for instance, she brought baggage. You know, if this didn't happen before, say like this, if some, you know, been hurt from lying, distrust, now it's like, you know, it's almost like I'm wearing, you know, the big S on my head, you know, because it's like, you
the
know.
Scarlet letter.
I'm a suspect because, you know, just because, you know, it's like because she's been hurt like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you bring that in and you've been open and honest and you're like, you know, you accusing me of stuff that, you know, I have no idea why.
Let me drop this on y'all fellas at 11:11 at night. What about being addicted to the drama?
Drama King? Did you just say Drama King?
Yeah.
Nah, you ain't
I mean,
say Drama
you talk
King.
About, you talk about, I mean, when it's not even nothing, you know, you talk about the example of your coworker, when it's nothing, but, you know, she's like, oh, you know, it just starts going, you know, turning into this avalanche when it's really nothing. It's like, are you addicted to this drama? I mean, it's not even
we don't
like
get like
that.
That. We don't get like that, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to speak for everybody on the call. We just don't do that.
Yeah.
Please, somebody back me up. Men don't do that.
I'm talking about the women. The women.
Oh, okay. The women's drama.
Yeah, the women. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Men ain't trying. We ain't got time for drama.
We ain't got time.
That's what I'm talking about. The women are addicted to that drama.
But I've known a few men that do that stuff, man, that act like that, you know. I've known a few guys that you be just like, wow.
Yeah, they got some borderline issues too. Men do. It's borderline issues. I mean, it is what it is. That's just not how most of us are made up, man. We see, we are like the brother said. We want to conquer. Drama gets in the middle of conquering anything.
That's
right. Drama is just a force field that stops you from conquering whatever it is. Just like Rodney said, you know, that Facebook page in the middle of the night. A lot of things. That can make you get out of the mood. There's a lot of things that, I mean, it's hard to get us out of the mood. You see what I'm saying? But drama is one of the things that will definitely make us say, you know what, I'm going to take the zero tonight and I'm going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't do drama well.
Especially when that drama is right in the middle of you trying to get some intimacy and they trying to talk about something they want to have a conversation about a week ago.
Exactly.
And that's
or
what I'm talking about, that drama, addicted to the drama. Everything is cool. You know, the kids are in bed. It's like, hey, what's up? What's going on? It's like, you know what? I just want to talk to you about that conversation you were telling me about you having with Hallie at the job. It's like, why now? Give me a
why
break.
Why now? Exactly. That's a smoke screen right there.
Yep. Addicted to the drama.
Yeah, man. That happened to me.
Open mic.
I was hating.
Fellas, It's open mic time.
Oh, wait. No, we got to do the learning moment. I just got to say what I learned, then we can go to open mic.
Okay, learning moment.
Yeah, what I learned is that I am addicted to head of household and household stress, and you are too. All right, open mic.
No. Let me tell you what I learned tonight.
There you go.
this is what I learned tonight. That if you're Tiger Woods and if you ain't got me on tape, it wasn't me. I'm talking videotape. If you ain't got me on, yeah, that may sound like me, but it could be doctored. If you don't have me on videotape, it was not me. She's lying.
Anybody can call me Tiger.
What I learned tonight was that 90% of this whole conversation of addiction was about sex.
90%?
90%.
Shoot, that's a downfall for men, though, you know.
Wow. Mm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm 100, I guess.
Mm. That's how, I mean, saying that, is that a good thing or... Well, that means we got a long
way to go. I was making a joke because I don't think that's a good thing at all.
So that means we got a long way to go.
We got a long way to go, absolutely. If indeed it was 90%, then we're very narrow-minded. Very much
very narrow-minded. That's right. That's right.
We're on the right path, though, fellas. We're on the right path.
Yeah, like I said, we brought it down 10%.
Down 10%. Well, the good thing about it is we can also flip the script and talk about some other things that aren't pertaining to sex as well, because we have proven that throughout the weeks, too, so we're not really that narrow-minded.
No, I'm just kidding. You're right.
But we do have a long way to go. Sex is important, man. Look, sex is important.
Say that again.
Who are we lying to if we say sex isn't important?
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Who could be laying in the bed with the swine flu now. That stuff that can take you out the game and be like, well, you know what? I do have a little bit of energy, honey. Come on, try it.
Right. I think that's the essence of the brother's comment. That's what it boils down to, that sex is important to men, period.
Sex is important to men. It is what it is.
I'm wondering there, but like, look, I can't move that much, but, you know, I'm going to make it happen.
Handle your business. Help a brother alone.
I just gave up, but I'm good. I just lay on you.
Yep. So does anybody have any issues other than this addiction that they like to bring to the table, something that they've been dealing with or just want to talk about or just anything on this open mic forum?
I did want to say one thing about one of the gentlemen was talking about communicating with different people on your job or things of that nature or other women. What we have to understand is, man, the reason why women get attitudes, man, is because, one, we don't have that same communication with them at home. And if you can do that with somebody else, that's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. I know I'm off, you know, on my timing, but I wanted to say that a while back.
That's what's up. Oh, that's good work.
There's no off on the comment. No. Yeah, that's right on time.
Yeah. And these women on the job that we, you know, all these people we call our friends, but yet when we come home, we don't have but 10 things to say to them.
Mm.
And that's where it becomes a problem. That's why they get attitude.
Wow. Makes sense.
You know, and I can say that because it happened to me.
Because we do it. I mean, you know. Sometimes we just get tired, man. I mean, we take that picture of home sometimes as, here we go, got to go back up in this joint again. You know, the same routine. You know? You know, and there goes conversation and everything because you already got that impression going in.
Well, conversation, fellas, come on. I mean, conversation is a two-way street. I mean, if she's got an attitude or something happening at work, yeah, I mean, that's going to stifle the conversation. I mean, you're not going to go in there and you see it's like, oh, no, I'm a pull the silent, you know, treatment tonight because it ain't even worth it. But, you know, somebody, you got to have an active listener and you have to have somebody communicating. It's two ways. You just can't be sitting up there and she's just in her own world and you're talking to yourself. It's not going to be effective communication either. So...
It's the environment, man. To me, it's like... I constantly tell my wife, I say, if the environment is like a flower, it ain't going to blossom unless the environment is right, you know?
It's like light water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I say something and I get a response from you that says, you know, if I keep, you know, bringing this point up and you know, and some of the, I guess, the illusion of when you have a conversation with someone at work, it really don't have a history, you know. It's like some relationships at work don't have a history, so it's like whatever you put out there, you don't feel like you're going to get your head snapped off or you get a comment back, or it's kind of that, it's not a whole lot tied into it. I mean, I remember I had this girl, this friend girl for like 8 years, almost 8 years, and we would just talk about everything. And, you know, and I really thought we had a really good relationship, you know, just communicate about everything till we got in a relationship. And that thing, it's like now when you're dealing with emotions and these person's feelings and your feelings and stuff, it's like our conversation just changed dramatically. It's like now it's like the stuff that, you know, we used to talk about, it's like, you know, you had to proceed with a little cautions because now it's like, you know, how they feel about it. How they felt about it concerning you, you know,
yeah,
person
yeah.
that they intimate with, you know. Sure, you know, you could talk about having sex with, you know, ex-boyfriend back in the day, ex-girlfriend, but now that I'm talking to her, it's like, I don't want to hear that, you know. I don't want to hear about what you did, you know, with some other girl, you know. And it's just like, so a lot of it, I think, is just about, you know, it's the maturity of the person, I guess, you know. To me, I just like, if they can just really, you know, hey, I'm talking, we're talking, you know, and I'm, and if you say the wrong thing, you know, it's going to make me, you know, kind of shut down in my communication about talking about this area. I'm not going to talk about certain things if I see it's triggering a response from you.
Yep, that's the issue. Tread lightly, man. Tread lightly on some of those issues. Good words. Anybody else got anything they want to throw in the mix? You're all square tonight?
Square, bro. Solid.
Square, solid.
Once again.
Fantastic call.
Yeah. Fantastic call.
On a rainy night.
On a rainy night, yeah. Addictions in the marriage. Now we know they exist. So, and even though the ones that we didn't think existed exist, so I guess now we got to figure out how to, one, identify them, and then, two, attach yourself to it, and then detach yourself to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you pose one question.
Hmm?
I think you posed one question that I don't really ever think that I truly answered. I think one person really hit on it, and that was when talked about the silence. You know, nobody
yeah.
really, you know, one person really hit on the issue. You know, we kind of, you know, went off on another angle with that. But,
yeah.
you know, the silence in going home and knowing that that communication or whatever it is that you're going to speak to that person is going to create you know, problems in your home, because you've had that conversation before and you revisited that thing before and you just never had closure to it, and that silence that comes from it. I mean, like, nobody really answered, how do you really deal with that? You know what I mean? How do you deal with it?
Let me tell you what I did with mine, and I didn't really have, well, let me say, my wife and myself, we don't have silence. We talk about everything. I mean, that's my best friend more than any male friend that I've ever had. She has probably superseded all of them. And but we talk about things that I could talk to y'all about. You see what I'm saying? But there were certain issues that I couldn't get across to her. And there was a certain issue that she couldn't get across to me, which is normal in a marriage. So what I had to do was I had to bring a third party into mine. Right? I had to bring a mediator. To just if sit there and say, okay, now you speak. Okay, you heard him? Now you speak. Okay, back and forth. You know what I'm saying? So because certain times you have to bring that third party in there. You know what I mean?
It's just like a referee, even if it's not a real big issue, because silence is so detrimental. You have to bring the third party in. Even when, see, a lot of times we wait till the marriage is halfway done when we go get a marriage counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When the wife is ready to roll out, when you're ready to roll out, everybody got their own thing going on the side, sleeping in separate rooms or whatever the case may be. But that's really not the answer. The answer is when there's communication issues. If we all agree that communication can kill a marriage, then what we need to do is fix that when we first see it, and then you bring that third party in. And it could be, you know, like it could be a friend, it could be a pastor, it could be a parent, well, maybe not a parent, but you know, a pastor or somebody like that, or a professional, a marriage counselor, just one person who knows how to ask the right questions. And then you say it in front of a witness. So then the witness can say, well, you know what, that's really not a whole lot that he's asking of you. You know?
Okay.
You have somebody that can, you know, that can jump on your side and then jump on her side and just say, okay, now that we got it out in the open, and then you all would, I guess, be able to. It helped me out because now I don't have those communication issues anymore.
And the best and the hardest part about that is really finding a woman that really would agree to having somebody to come in. You know, I mean, and you know, I was in that situation before. You know, and I've dealt with it. And like I said once before, and I dealt with it to the degree that one time it was just a mute situation. Man. It was just no closure to it. It was always I agreed to disagree. It was never an area of compromise in one way or the other, because neither one would give, you know, and it became a problem. It was for a long time. Oh yeah.
Yep, because it'll fester. It'll fester because you got two headstrong people. Nobody wants to give in. You know what I mean? And normally we give in because they got something that we want. So normally we just go ahead and give in. But we still carrying it though.
Absolutely, and you never really get rid of it, because all it's going to take is one argument. It is going to come back up again.
It's going to come back up again. That's right.
And a lot of people don't want to recognize that, you know, this is the reality. This is real, man. And some things you just have to face, and you have to really take into consideration. We have to take these things head on, man, and go at it, regardless of the consequences sometimes, you know?
That's right. And that's why I use the term marriage maintenance, you know what I'm saying? And in a perfect world, you should be able to go to your wife and say, look, I care about you enough that I want to do this marriage maintenance. And on this marriage maintenance schedule that I have, we have to bring in a third party just so we can have like a counseling session so we can talk about some of the things that we will not talk about, you know, in front of each other or to each other so we can get better. You know what I mean? The wife has got to respect that. Because you just want the marriage to be better. You just want to keep it going. You know what I mean? Before it becomes a problem. You see what I'm saying? So even the most quiet woman, the most keep-to-herself woman should still say at least, okay, well, I want to keep my marriage and my husband wants to keep the marriage, so let me at least try this. If she don't, she ain't willing to do nothing for the marriage. She's willing to just let it go down the tubes. I mean, that's the way I look at it. If you're not willing to fight for your marriage at any cost, then we have to really evaluate the women that we're with at that point.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I was just brought it up because I know somebody really touched on it, but I know that is a common problem in a lot of marriages, and a lot of us don't say anything about it because you know we don't want our wives to hear. But I mean, it's real, man. I mean, it's a real thing. I just wanted to touch on it. That's all.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, we can't. The reason why we got this call is because we as men, we carry too much weight on us. We carry too much with us.
Okay.
Everyday world that we got to deal with, the paying the bills, the this, the that, the daughters, the sons, everything else, and then the issues that we don't want to talk to our wives about because they can't handle it. We got to carry all that. And that's why these calls are so successful, because for anything, we just at least get it off our chest and share it on this phone line.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Fellas can immediately relate to something that it'll take hours for a woman to relate to.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm all right with you, Rodney, saying, you know what? I agree with that because that happens with me. So now I know I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, oh, that happens to you too? thank you for sharing that, because now I know I'm not the only one in this world that's just that's feeling crazy.
Yeah.
Or I already been through it, so this is how, you know, I did got out of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I just wanted to bring it back up, man, because I just know that it's something that we all have issues with, man, and you're not going to find a woman that's going to agree with everything that you have to say. It's going to go along with everything you have to say, and it's always going to be on one accord with you. You know, it's going to be that time, like that point of time where it's going to be a moment where you're really going to have to really bring, like he said, somebody in, or you're going to really have to bring a lot of consideration into what you're talking about to one another. You know, to bring some closure, man, because it happens.
It happens. I tell you what, I challenge anybody on this phone, whether you think you have a problem or not, or you think you got the best, perfect marriage known to man, and go get some counseling. Just a marriage maintenance counseling, and watch what comes out. There's some stuff that'll come out, and you'll be like, wait a minute, where did that come from? I didn't see it. I didn't see that. Where'd that come from? What are you talking about? You ain't never told me that before. Because they hold it in, you hold it in. You know what I'm saying?
I was telling you that all the time.
I've been through it, man. I've been through it, and I would say, oh man, I don't need no counseling. I'm good. We good. And those questions are the ones that exactly come up. It's like, what? What are you talking about?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because listen. The fact is, men, women are trained to go with the flow, because what they've been told is that your fathers did it, their fathers did it, their fathers did it. We have to just learn to hang in there and roll with them. So they're going to hold back a lot more than we will. So we don't really know what they're harboring. We have no idea.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's to our best interest to bring somebody else in, even when we think nothing's wrong, just so we can find out what's actually going on with our wife, so we don't get hit with a brick one day when we walk in the door. She drop a bomb on you.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened to me. I got the bomb dropped on me, and all of a sudden she was going through stuff I didn't even know about, and you know. But then I realized that was something that I had needed to learn before I got into a relationship, man. And boom, the bomb was dropped. I'm like, where in the hell that come from?
Mm-hmm.
This is true.
This is true. It happens to a lot of us, and we sitting there scratching our head like, what did I do? It might not be anything you did. It's just something, baggage that she just could not drop off at the door.
Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, add a little bit more to that point, man, that we all get that, because that's one of the major factors of relational issues, man, is that. And when that point came up, I thought, well, great, me did that one.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was thinking about with the whole silence piece, man, because I know that, you know, a lot of us deal with it. And it's addictive because we don't want to talk. And it becomes to a point where we just make it the norm. Well, let me just not talk. And, you know, they say 30 days of anything, it starts a habit, I think. So, you know, a month of not talking can lead to, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of not saying nothing.
So what's going to happen when you have that counseling, man? Then out of that counseling, man, one of you guys get the shock of your life. Your wife said, well, you never really would sexually satisfy me, and you think of that as a physical thing, man. But what it is, it was all in the way that you approaching, you know, make love to him.
Well, but it's information you need to know.
Yeah, it's information you need to know.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody might have been telling you a fairy tale.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to face reality of it, though, man. You know, there's a lot of things that we do that are not appealing to women, man. It's not things that turn them on. It's just things that we learned from the street when we was out there doing our thing, you know. And
yeah,
we try to bring
those
things to a relationship, man, and they don't work, bro.
Yeah. Cause see, the flip side to that coin is your wife may say, "Well, you're not satisfying me sexually, mentally, blah blah blah." But let me tell you what you can do to do that, and let me give you the steps that it takes to do that. You see what I'm saying? Opposed to you just not, because it could be physically, she'd be like, "Well, you just ain't got it, so nothing you can do will fix it." But if she may tell you, well, you can fix it, and this is what I need you to do, and then you start working on how to get back on top of your game.
And not getting caught up with the ego issues about your manhood, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because 80% of it, think about this. If it's your wife, and you're not dealing with erectile dysfunction or something like that, if it's your wife, it's mental. Because she wouldn't have married most of us. A lot of us, well, there's very few people that did not have sex with their wife, with their girl, before they married them. So you already was handling your business at one point. It's just something along that line started to go wrong. And when it gets to that point, we need to know so we can get back to you know.
Back to whatever it was that was keeping it in the beginning.
In the beginning, exactly. Exactly. So it's a mental. It ain't physical. Because you physically handled your business before, or y'all wouldn't have got married.
No. And I think that's just something the guys really need to hear, man. Because a lot of times, man, you don't really realize that because you're not open to that communication because you get pride issues. And then you're like, well, damn, what am I doing wrong? But then when half the time when all these things are going wrong, 9 times out of 10, it's things that we're not doing that or please them or touch them the way they like to be touched or approach them the way they want to be approached. You know, we always want to be rough and to the point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the longer that they're in the relationship with you, the more the emotions start to grow.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying? In the beginning, it might have been, yo, rough it off. I like a man who can take it. You know what I mean? Or I like a man who can bend me over, whatever the case may be. But as long the longer they get attached to you, the more they want to be romanced. The more they want to be held and caressed and all that stuff. And we still back in the future. You know, we still back in the beginning. We haven't made the transition.
Right.
It takes a long time for a man to make that transition.
Yeah. We have to be told to make the transition. I mean, it is what it is. I had to be told.
Yes, sir. You got to be told.
I ain't no mind reader. You got to tell me what you want.
Right about that.
You know what I mean? You need to tell me exactly what you want, how you want it done.
I'm built a certain way. That's right. I'm built a certain way.
And I remember the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why sex changes in the marriage. Every single marriage, sex changes. Something different gets cut off the menu. Something different is off the menu. You know what I mean? And we trying to figure out, well, what happened?
Yeah. We were just monkey flipping all the night.
It could be as much as you didn't take a shower when you came in, when you got in the bed. You just came and got in the bed.
Or
you forgot to brush your teeth.
That's it.
You know, anything. You got to get up in the morning, you know, well, you go brush your teeth, then come on back. What? You know, it could be anything. It could be any little thing can trigger it, man. We are dealing with, you know, with emotions, man.
Do you see what's going on down below right now? I mean, hey, and you talking about go brush your teeth. Admit it.
No, let me
stop. Man, I'm going too crazy.
I know, I'm talking crazy, man. Don't pay no attention to me.
But it
is what it is, though, you know?
If all y'all
live in those real holy relationships, man, where, you know, you ain't getting it on like that, you need to check yourself.
Kids is a huge one.
Mm-mm. That's why I got married. Because it's all good in the neighborhood when you marry. That's what I know. It's all good in the neighborhood.
There you go.
As long as I... Go ahead.
As long as she agree with you, it's cool.
Yes, sir. As long as it's within these walls, it's all good.
That's it. It's by
you know what I mean?
Bed, the marital bed is undefiled. I mean, it's clean.
Exactly.
That's your wife. If y'all two agree on it, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
a lot of people won't tell you that.
Mm-mm.
Well, I ain't mean to hold y'all too long, man, but I just wanted to bring that point up. That's all.
Good point, man. Good words, man. Appreciate
good
y'all
words,
every week.
Good words.
All right, fellas. Well, again, another headbanger.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, fellas, we'll catch y'all next Tuesday.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right.
Hey, just remember, if you love this call the way we love this call, there's another man who needs this call. So
yep.
I know that we do a lot of advertising, but, you know, we need to help advertising.
Yep.
So,
that's right.
You know.
And look,
nobody
owns the call, so claim the call and say it's your call. Yep. Like, come to my call. I got this call I'm doing on Tuesdays. Come on to this call. I got a couple people. You know, we all moderate or whatever. We don't care nothing about that, man. We just want the call to go on.
Yeah. So that's
okay. All right.
All right, fellas.
All right, peace
out. Tony, hit me back.
Hit me back, man.
All right, later.